If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! So Rage Against the Machine is doing Lollapalooza. Radiohead's going to be at... Whoa! Did you guys just feel that earthquake? Holy mackerel. Oh my God. Whoa! Oh my God, there's an earthquake! I'm not supposed to panic like that, though. Hold on.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Do you feel that?
Yes, we're on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my. It threw me out of my seat.
I know.
That was strong. The speakers up here, I thought were going to fly and smash me in the head.
Yeah, it was nuts. I thought somebody was walking on a roof just a second ago. Wow, all right. Well, we're still on the air.
Hey, remember that time lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
And now, even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Our feature presentation.
Thank God he was here to come running in.
I couldn't agree more.
All of Los Angeles is like, oh, my God, what do I... Oh, thank God, lightning's there. Now I know everything's okay.
Why did he... I don't know. That's the most fascinating thing, is that of all the people, lightning's the one who has to run in and jump on the air.
But, and his information was, I thought somebody was walking on the roof. Like, he didn't have any information.
Anything helpful?
No.
Of course not.
He leads
of course not.
He leads with, did you feel that? Stryker's on the air with the mics open, lights are on and everything. Did you feel that? No, Lightning, he didn't feel that. Everybody else within a 100-mile vicinity, everybody from here to Vegas felt it.
We have Lightning on the case, and that's why we rule.
I laughed till I stopped when I heard that.
Have you stopped yet?
I have. I've stopped now. But I may start back up again now that I've heard it again, because that to me is just priceless. Because what goes on in his furry little brain that makes him think, I need to get into the studio now.
I don't
because
think
you saw how fast it was. I mean, it was within the first 10 seconds or so, right?
Yeah, and he's a good 25, 30 seconds away if you walk. So you knew he ran.
He ran to get into the studio. Was it because he wanted to be on the air?
I don't think he had that kind of thought process. I think it was just gut. I need to go do something. And he didn't have anything to do, obviously. When he got there, he had nothing to say or do. But he just, it's a gut.
How many people do you think work at K-Rock during the day? At 11 o'clock in the morning, how many people are in the building?
I don't know, like 60? 70, okay. Maybe?
How many of 70 people within 30 seconds of the air studio?
Pretty much all of them.
Ran into the studio?
Just
how
one.
Many?
Only one.
Just one.
Yeah. But at least he had information. And that was helpful to Stryker.
Did you feel that?
Well, we
if the microphones
to our
are on
today.
And he didn't feel that, what's the use of that, really?
Oh, that's a right. good point.
What's the point?
That's a good point.
Did exactly. you feel that? First time in a month.
A month?
A month?
It was great.
I love us.
Our coverage, I think our coverage was as good as the rest of the coverage throughout the day, which I'm very excited to hear some of what you saw.
Well, you know my habit. My habit is to go right to Channel 4.
Yes.
Because absolutely.
They really are the best in Southern California at meaningless news.
Oh, yeah. Because it was evident to even the most casual observer within the first 10 minutes that it was a good-sized shake and that everybody was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably yeah. 5 minutes.
Yet it went – yeah, but I'm just thinking, let's just give you the benefit of the doubt that there may be something going on in other parts of Southern California that you haven't heard about yet. But by 10 minutes, you knew that there weren't any buildings collapsed or freeways or anything like that. It was just wasn't that kind of an earthquake.
Right.
Yet they were on for 12 hours yesterday interviewing everybody from little kids to old people.
Which is about my favorite.
About the earthquake. Mm-hmm. And every single one has to describe what the earthquake felt like as if – everybody watching didn't already also feel the same thing.
As if they're the only one.
Yes.
That felt it.
I also hate how they exploit certain situations and disaster type situations. Like being said, nothing really came of this earthquake, but every single newscast is now what to do when the big one does hit.
Oh, sure.
And make the big sure one that you're will ready. Hit.
Yeah. Sure. They've got those packages standing by, I imagine.
Oh, right. They can't wait to take those out.
They must have been so excited in the newsrooms.
We haven't had a good earthquake in a while.
They had their version of lightning run down into the studio, I'm sure.
But at least I hear what Mike's saying, and I agree, but at least there is some value in people being prepared for a major earthquake. At least there's something to be said for that. That's a story that is appropriate anytime, really.
Yeah.
You're right. They pull it out to ratchet up the hype factor on a day like yesterday. But 99% of the interviews were, well, really just some stuff off the shelves. I'm fine and everything's fine.
That's about it.
And I heard anchors talking to people on the phone going, well, are any water main breaks? No, nothing like that. Any poles down? No, sure. No, everything's fine. I mean, just looking for something that they could make sensational so they could send a crew right out.
Well, in 12 hours coverage, everyone goes to the TV or the radio in the first 20 minutes,
you
can, right? Then you get the information. You find out where it was. You find out what the magnitude was. You find out nobody was hurt and nothing happened.
And
then
you're done.
Yes. Nobody's going back 2 hours later. Ooh, let's turn on the news
see what
that's about. Yeah.
They could have. They could have just scrolled across the bottom.
Sure.
5.8, Chino Hills.
That would have been perfect.
No one injured. A little stuff. Go shopping. Go out and spend some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But no.
Dr. Kate, by the way, I had not seen in a while.
How's she looking?
She almost is a dead ringer for Anderson Cooper now.
Really?
She really is. She looks much like Anderson Cooper
now. Are you talking about that dude from Caltech?
Yeah.
Yes, that dude from Caltech. Kate, right. Let's hear a little bit more lightning before we move on with today's show. I think I have it from yesterday, seconds after the earthquake.
Okay? Yeah, I'm okay.
Do you feel that?
Yes, we're on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my. It threw me out of my seat.
I know.
I was talking about, thank God there was an earthquake because I forgot what I was talking about. I like lost my train of thought, and then there was an earthquake, and it gave me an excuse so I didn't really screw up. That was strong. The speakers up here, I thought were going to fly and smash me in the head.
Yeah, it was nuts. I thought somebody was walking on a roof just a second ago. Wow, all right. Well, you're still on the air.
All right, thanks
for that update.
Lightning the engineer says, you're still on the air.
You're still on the air. Let's keep going.
It's good.
I just wanted to come in and say, that was crazy.
That was crazy. Did you feel that? Must talk to Lightning.
I really don't know what his plan was.
I don't know either.
Why he felt the need to do that. If he did that when all of those years when he was working with our show instead of just online.
Yeah.
We would have kicked him in the balls. I mean, really, that was not helpful.
Not at all.
Do you feel it? I thought somebody was walking on the roof.
What the hell? That's crazy.
Good times.
That's crazy. Well, anyway, I brought in some highlights from Channel 4's live coverage.
Can't wait.
Around the clock.
Excellent.
Because when they have to fill that much time with no information, it's always good.
Yeah.
Always. Amy Winehouse, we got to talk about her wanting kids.
Oh.
She doesn't want just kids. I believe she wants twins, and she wants a total of about five or six.
If she got pregnant consecutively, won't live long enough to have five or six.
Mm-mm. That's correct.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's not going to go well for her.
Yeah.
Matt Money Smith in the studio today talking about Brett Favre and other sports stories.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God, there's an earthquake.
All right, Stryker, we're fine.
Yes. Kerry Hart will be in the studio today talking about the X Games motocross.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of X Games, we have a contest for you to win your tickets to go see the X Games live. They start Thursday, tomorrow.
Is Kerry competing this year, by the way, or is he a...
I don't know. That's a good question.
I thought he might be... Is he? I thought he might be retired.
Well, he's retired on and off for quite some time, but then he'll go back and race sometimes.
Right.
So I don't know what he's doing this weekend, but...
We'll find out.
The director of operations for the Something Store, gigantic ripoff known as Beans... Where Bean sends $10.
And you get great stuff back.
Great stuff.
Eventually.
Purse of zippers. What's greater than that? Really, what's greater than a purse of zippers?
That's all I would hope for.
I couldn't have asked for it. Well, good, because you're getting it for Christmas this year.
Ewan McGregor, I believe, will be on the program today.
Oh, he's great.
Wow. Obi-Wan.
And, I'm being told now Ewan McGregor not on the program today.
Fantastic.
That was quick.
All right.
Maybe the earthquake got him.
Maybe someone did die.
Maybe at 7:05 we need to talk Too lightning.
Did you feel that?
One of my favorite parts is when Stryker says, "Yeah, I felt it. By the way, I'm on the air." And Lenny goes, I know. But there was someone walking on it.
Yeah, I don't want to just interrupt you in your personal life. I want to interrupt you to the detriment of millions.
That's not a surprise to me. I knew it, but I want to tell you what I thought.
I raced in here because I saw the light was on.
He might be the best reporter I've ever heard. Lately.
I want him to go work for Channel 4.
I do, too. He would fit right in, wouldn't he?
Yep.
All right. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Entertainment News next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 547.
Oh, my God. There's somebody walking on the roof.
Did you feel that?
That's crazy.
I love it so much. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock 547. And Ralph joins us with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
By the way, if that quake knocked you out of your seat, Stryker, flimsy! Flimsy! Where's my sound effect for flimsy?
Oh, sorry.
Flimsy! There we go.
That's it.
Get no help from these people.
Sorry.
Yeah, knocked me out of my seat. Yeah, did you roll off your tail?
Jeez, everybody, you relax.
Think that he could tie his body to the chair with his tail,
and then wouldn't be able to
you'd
fall.
Stryker has a tail. You think the prehensile tail would just wrap itself around the chair in a moment of panic like that? It does with a possum.
It's natural,
right? And he would just stay anchored.
Knock me out of my chair. I know, it's crazy.
That was some great radio on both ends right there.
I wish they'd stayed on for an hour.
They should be a team.
Just take some calls. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Okay. Shia LaBeouf has a little good news.
Good.
Turns out he is still being arraigned on DUI charges. He remains in Cedars.
That is good.
Cedars, so I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay.
He remains in Cedars-Sinai Hospital after severe surgery on his hand as a result of a injury from the car accident. However, Sheriff's Department has determined that it was not Shia's fault, the accident.
Really? Oh, no kidding. I thought, yeah. Oh, okay.
Early word was that Shia tried to make an illegal left-hand turn, and that's what caused the accident. But in reality, he was making a legal left-hand turn at the time of the accident. The other driver blew through the red light and plowed into him.
How about that?
That's what caused the accident and caused his car to roll.
Was the other driver impaired?
No word on whether she was impaired or not, but she was cited right at the scene.
Oh, all right.
They did give her a citation for blowing through the red light. So, in terms of at least the DUI, this is significantly better situation for him because he will probably get popped for driving while intoxicated, but he won't be charged with causing the accident. So,
that's good news.
That is good news.
I'll tell you something else though that I couldn't help but notice. You know how this was discovered is there was a camera at the intersection. It turns out, and increasingly that's the case when something happens. More often than not lately, it seems like there's some sort of surveillance camera nearby that's able to capture the action. It seems like you're always being filmed, and you don't even realize it until something like this happens.
Yeah. Did you go into court yesterday and just give him hell for that? For the fact that the cameras versus man battle rages on?
Don't want to eat up your showbiz beat, but perhaps later I can tell you how it went.
Bean got a ticket mailed to him by the camera and pulled over by an officer at the scene at the same time. So two tickets for the same offense, and he went and defended himself in court.
And they said, man trumps camera. And Bean thinks that they did that because he gets a point on his driving record after that.
So he was in court yesterday. We'll tell you later how that went. But
let's just say there's an old song called "I Fought the Law." Let's just say that.
Oh, there we go. I know the rest of the lyrics to that song.
Tell you more later.
Britney Spears is paying through the nose to look good, according to the United Kingdom's Daily Mail newspaper. You know, she's been looking pretty good lately. Have you seen her in the bikini?
Yeah. A few photos. Absolutely. I didn't say bikini, but I've seen a few photos.
Oh, she was on the beach, I think, on Hawaii. Cabo. Oh, it's a Cabo this week. And looking tan and fit rested and looking good. Well, now we know the secret. According to the Daily Mail, she's spending $22,000 a month to get into shape.
A month? A month. That's crazy. How do you spend that much to get into shape?
Nutritionist, personal trainer, private choreography lessons, and a dietitian that is limiting her to 1,400 calories a day with one cheat day when she gets to eat whatever she wants.
A cheat day, she eats 7 billion calories.
Yes.
I saw her eat in Cabo. She actually ate one of the lounge chairs by the pool.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll happen if you're that hungry.
Well, we've been hearing that she's going to make another record, and she's coming back strong later this year.
Best money she's ever spent, by the way, that $22,000 a month. Giving her spending habits and the results that we're seeing.
Sure.
It's finally a good use of her cash. Speaking of cash, yesterday was a great news day for
cash.
The showbiz news when Miley Cyrus was offered $1 million by Lifestyle Condoms to endorse their products.
Oh, no.
Spokesperson for Lifestyle Condoms told the New York Daily News, with recent reports showing that one out of four teenage girls has an STD and the high level of teenage pregnancy, we believe that Miley is both influential and relatable to this afflicted set and is the obvious choice to get the message of safe sex out to teens across America.
Now, does it matter that she claims she's a virgin?
I don't think she has to have had used the product. She just has to hold it up and say, you should use this so that you don't get
Here's what's
AIDS.
Sad. Here's what's sad is that she'd never be able to do it because Disney and so many of her fans' parents would throw a tantrum. But it's would absolutely be a responsible thing for her to do and a great message for her to get out.
Sad but true, Bean. Miley's representatives have already told the company and the newspaper that Miley would not be considering the company's offer. However, the representative also said there's an excellent chance that a photo of her using the product may surface sometime soon on the internet. So they might get their publicity after all.
Thank God.
Miley's CD, Breakout, is expected to debut at number one on the Billboard album charts when the list is released later today. It will debut at number one.
Probably by far.
No one has sold more CDs this year other than Mariah Carey than Miley Cyrus this year.
It's pretty good.
What?
I'm sorry, excuse me, now what?
I was saying, what's the next story? I didn't hear. What'd you have coming up?
You bought it? Why would you buy Miley Cyrus' CD? That's just...
I like her.
It's like
15-year-old
bubblegum pop.
She has some good songs. I don't like them all, but I like enough to support her.
I'm not a fan of you.
Sometimes you just shake me to my core for the things that you say.
Did you feel that?
I am so uncomfortable right now.
Gay wad.
Guy Ritchie's nuts.
What about him?
No. Guy Ritchie is nuts.
Oh, he is.
Guy Ritchie is nuts. He went on a bizarre rant yesterday telling England's Empire magazine that sugar kills more people than crack cocaine.
Sugar.
Awesome.
Yes. He went off for no apparent reason on how much he hates sugar. Sugar kills, Guy Ritchie said. Think of the calories in sugar. Fat kills more people than anything else. Sugar is responsible for a lot of deaths, arguably even more than crack cocaine.
That sounds unnecessary.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're saying illness due to obesity because people eat too many sugary foods over the course of their life,
sure.
Maybe
he's
right.
Yeah, over the course of a lifetime.
Right.
But, I don't know. I think maybe he may be making a false connection between the two, a comparison between the two.
Considering only 1% of all the people that have walked the earth ever used crack cocaine,
yeah,
those
right.
1%, 90% of them end up dying from crack
exactly.
cocaine.
Exactly. I think the odds are in crack's favor. Go crack! Go crack! Go crack! We're still big crack supporters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And congratulations to Bono. He has been tapped by Brad and Angelina to be the godfather of their twins.
Oh. I just want to know why. Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Look, if you want someone to raise your kids in the event of you're not being able to, wouldn't you pick St. Bono?
You bet.
I guess.
Got all the money in the world, seems to be a man of great compassion and character.
Gone for 18 months at a time.
On the road all the time. Learned to be a roadie. Learned to be a guitar tech.
Are they friends, or did they just call him out of the blue and say, hey, you don't know us, but...
No, apparently Brad and Angelina think the world of Bono, and they've been friends for years. They've been working side by side a lot of charitable endeavors, and apparently they've gotten quite close. So Bono is your granddad, or your godfather, rather. That is pretty cool. And Justin Timberlake wants to know what a trendsetter he is, in case you didn't. He told DailyStab.com that he... alone was responsible for bringing back trucker caps, not Ashton Kutcher. He wants to make that clear.
I don't know that's something to be proud of.
Is he kidding?
No. He said that he and his buddy Trace Ayala have been wearing the headgear since the tender age of 17, and it was way before Ashton started wearing them in public. So he brought the trucker cap back.
But was he kidding?
Suck it.
He added. Wow. Hmm. Why would you claim, why would you take responsibility for that?
I don't know how that's good.
It'd be like saying, hey, you know that it's patient zero, the AIDS guy from the plane? Yeah, that was me. I started it, man. Way before Rock Hudson.
You nuts? Taking credit for the trucker cap?
He didn't bring everything back.
Took everything Timberlake. We had to have Mike stop wearing them. Finally, yeah. We got there, and yeah, now this guy's talking about him again.
Is it time to cut him loose from the Federline bits he does for us if he's going to act up like this in public?
Yeah, probably.
No, Ashton didn't say this. Timberlake said this.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so, all right, so we're all right. Ashton's
still on the staff. Right, God bless him.
He does good work.
And apparently, Christian Bale still is.
Christian Bale?
No, Christian Bale, Dave.
Oh.
Christian Bale is still a down-to-earth guy in spite of all the recent controversy in his life. TMZ caught him pushing his own luggage cart through the airport in Tokyo, Japan, and lifting his daughter into an SUV and asking the waiting press to back off and watch the baby, please.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem so down-to-earth to me. Guy pushes his own luggage? Says, don't step on my baby? Seems like a pretty standard operational procedures coming out of the airport.
No one looks more miserable being hounded by paparazzi than poor Christian Bale.
He doesn't look comfortable with his superstardom, that's for sure. I think dude would rather just be one of those actors who goes to work and then disappears.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. Certainly not with latest news about The Dark Knight. The latest Batman film, of course, is making money hand over wing. See, because he's a bat.
Why the night got to be dark, Ralph?
People now speculating, will Dark Knight be the biggest box office earner of all time? Will it top Titanic's take?
Dude.
What's Titanic's record?
Titanic's record, let me see. It's in this story here someplace. Hold on,
I think it was over a billion, wasn't it?
Yeah, but domestically it made just a hair over $600,000.
$600 million.
I'm sorry, $600 million, yeah. So The Dark Knight, which has just topped off at $325 million yesterday, will probably reach $400 million by early next week, is being compared to Titanic, saying, will it top it as the biggest grossing film of all time? Well, Seth, here we go. $600.8 million in total ticket sales domestically for Titanic.
There are a lot of people who love that movie and will see it again. And
that's
there are
me.
Still people like Lisa who haven't gone and plan to, right, yes, Lisa?
Absolutely. And Dave just went yesterday.
The tricky part, Variety is saying, we live in a different time in terms of films, because films used to play in a theater for a lot longer before they went to DVD and that kind of stuff. Titanic, for example, was in theaters for a total of 9 months after opening at Christmas that year.
9 months?
Yes, and stayed at number one for 15 weeks. So they're saying it may best the number two biggest grossing film of all time, which is the original Star Wars, which made $461 million. But they doubt it will actually take over Titanic. But Warner Brothers is hoping that they might have a chance. We'll have to wait and see. That music is very soothing. Makes you just want to lie down.
I'm nodding off, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a dark tone to it.
Did you feel that? Did you feel that?
Sounds like The Secret.
Sounds like
it does.
Sounds like Batman's walking on the roof. Oh my God, there's an earthquake!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jean Renault, very talented actor from Da Vinci Code and Mission Impossible and Godzilla, 60 years old today. Lawrence Fishburne turns 47. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 45. Vivica A. Fox turns 44 years old today. Speaking of The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan, director of that film, turns 38 years old. Hilary Swank is 34 years old today. Jamie Presley from Earl is 30. Well, how great does she look after just having a baby? She's another one of those phenomenons.
Another one of those Hollywood chicks.
Damn. She is 31 years old today. Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck. She plays the smoking hot blonde secret agent who fights alongside of Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
On that show, she is 26. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor.
No kidding.
And former robot turns 61 years old today. 61 years old. Looking good, Arnold. I might even go as far as to say you're looking hot.
Ah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do you feel it? Yeah, we felt it, buddy. We felt it. Thank you very much. Yesterday was a 5.4 earthquake it ended up being, so says Dr. Kate, that guy that works at Caltech. And nobody got hurt, and there was very little damage. Yet that didn't stop the local news from covering it for 24 consecutive hours. They're still talking about it.
It really does seem to us, and I know that this happens every time and we're out of step, but it really does seem to us, if nothing happened, there's really not much of a story.
Right.
Like, you go out and do interviews on the street, and they say everyone's fine and nothing's broken. You don't even air that.
I am going to tell you, and I've complained about this with car chases and with other things that take over the whole news. When I tune in to the 5 o'clock news, say, on Channel 4, I want an hour of news. I don't want an hour of, well, it was a rolling motion and some stuff fell off the shelves, but I'm fine. I don't want an hour of that. I want what else is going on. All right, earthquake happened. Everybody's fine. What else you got?
I don't know. I don't understand the need to ask people what they felt. That's one of my favorite things because...
Yeah.
Because I felt it.
Yeah.
Right. The reporter, by the way, has the same information as the person that they're interviewing. Why don't they just tell us what it was like?
Well, but I went right to Channel 4 because I knew they would give us their hard-hitting coverage, asking questions like...
Tell us what your experience was, and did it creep up on you, or was it more jarring to start?
Well, I was in a meeting with the city manager in his office.
Okay, no one cares. Nobody cares. You know where I was? Office Depot. You know how many people I've told that? Zero. You know why? Exactly. They don't care where I was. It's not a good story. If something fell on your head, that's a good story. If you're just sitting around doing whatever and nothing happened,
not a story.
Not really a story.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you were in your car, if you were at home, if you were walking down the street, it's all the same.
So they, of course, Channel 4, they live for the little kid interviews.
Oh, yes.
They must have little kid interviews. So I don't remember her name. I think it was Laurel Erickson or somebody like that from Channel 4. She was in a neighborhood talking to a little girl.
Everything was moving. Nothing was falling or anything. My boss, she...
Oh, I'm sorry. This is another guy who's telling a great story.
She walked into the elevator right when it happened, so it must have been scary for her.
Okay, so they put that on the news.
It must have been.
My boss was getting on an elevator when it hit, so it must have been scary for her. That's the information the guy has. Boss there? No.
Be better to talk to her.
Did he talk to the boss afterwards? No.
Was it scary for her? Don't know.
He was just guessing. Must have been.
Yep.
Well, thanks for putting that on the air, Channel 4. What would I do without that?
You live right here. So what did you feel when the earthquake hit?
When the earthquake hit, I thought that someone was moving the desk in the school. And then suddenly our teacher said, get down because there's an earthquake. So the floor was moving and everyone was scared. There was people crying.
Okay.
All right. Go Doyers.
So she had a couple of follow-up questions, by the way.
Of the little kid?
Then she talked to the little kid's father, who doesn't speak English, and had the little kid translate for them on Channel 4.
The best.
Jose was, he knew like two words of English, God bless him, and he was just trying to get the message across, and she had like four or five follow-ups for him. I think they're just told to stall for any amount of time.
What I don't get is, why don't they go out and get 50 interviews and then pick two actual good ones? But they don't. They get two interviews and they just air them regardless of whether people can speak English, if they have anything to say.
It's totally like the video costs too much to waste.
Yeah.
So if you're going to interview somebody, you must air it regardless if they have a story to tell.
Isn't that what it seems like?
Yes. So now they get to the part in the coverage where they start making all the connections to 94. Was it 94 or 93?
Northridge, right.
And, oh, it just felt like Northridge. Oh, my God, it felt like Northridge. So the two hosts that were on the air on Channel 4.
Let's go back in time, shall we?
Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, all right, we got the pre-prepared package ready, 1994. Let's look at some of the shaking.
How many people died? What happened?
And see what we were doing. We were actually on the air when this earthquake hit.
Okay, now this is them going back in time 45 minutes. To when this earthquake hit, and they were doing a story. And nothing interesting happened. If a light fell on their head, I'm in. Roll it.
Right.
Listen to this.
I believe we are having...
Oh, a big one.
Yeah, a big earthquake right now. Pretty sizable. We're on live TV.
Yeah.
Come back. You're seeing the shaking.
Now, we actually had a little bit of rattling before that, and which means it was probably further away.
So, while we're still...
Rolling through here.
It looks like... this is our Valley Cam right now.
Okay, that's what they were. They rolled that as a piece of history from 45 minutes ago when they were on the air and nothing happened.
They're so damn calm. It's not even fun.
Right. If you panicked,
someone screamed, that would have been good.
If you crawled under the desk, if somebody ran in and said, "Did you feel that?" Roll it. That's interesting.
Lightning has to be furious how calm they were.
They had nothing to say, but they had to go back in time and show the replay of themselves on the air 45 minutes
ago. Look how professional we were.
They were big. yesterday into security cameras. I don't know how many you saw, Kevin, but I saw at least a half a dozen where, well, we're at a Carl's Jr. restaurant here, and you can take a look at the lights shaking on the security camera. Woo-hoo. Okay, that looks just like the lights that were shaking on the last security camera a few minutes ago where nothing happened and no one got hurt.
I couldn't bring in this clip because there was no audio for it, but one of their newsmen was shooting video from his home and sent it into Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of their cameramen. So they aired it, and I swear to God, it was video of his house, and he was panning all around the house, and nothing was moving. So he focused in on the light that was hanging from a cord, and it was just barely moving back. Just a little bit. You wouldn't think it was moving if you looked closely. So he panned around some more, nothing, back to the light, moving a little less now. That was their coverage. They don't look at that and go, that's not good. There's nothing interesting about that.
Yeah. You know, it's video. We must put it on.
So they found this Asian guy that's sitting out in front of a supermarket, and they asked him what was going on. The Asian guy, I believe, just got out of bed. Could not have been more bored. Could not have been a worse interview. And this reporter asked him this.
There's a fellow who's actually sitting out here in front of the supermarket. His name is James Yee. You can see him there working away. He says he's been giving away newspapers, and James is going to describe for us exactly what happened when he felt it. James, are you with us?
Okay, now James still not paying attention to the reporter who's standing right in front of him.
Okay.
Just bored. Just looking and reading the paper.
Yeah. So when did you realize it was an earthquake?
Okay, that's a great question. When did you realize it was an earthquake? When did it happen? 11:43?
Yes.
Yes, I think around then, yeah.
I'm not sure, maybe around...
Now he's thinking when he thought he knew it was an earthquake, and now listen to him yawn on TV.
Around 10 o'clock.
Around 10 o'clock.
He's good. Okay. Should have had him on before.
So don't air that. That's not a good interview.
How is that?
He felt it an hour and 43 minutes before it happened.
That's fantastic.
So you would think in his position, now the reporter would go, the guy's yawning. He has no idea what time it is. I'm going to cut my losses and move on.
I'm not sure.
10 o'clock. Still a little sleepy, huh?
Yeah.
Tell us what you did when it started shaking. What happened to you?
What happened? I just ran out.
What did you?
Okay, so he said, I just ran out. He stood up and went out in the parking lot.
Can you show us?
Yeah.
And then the reporter says, can you show us? So now the Asian dude he gets up from the table and just kind of jogs out into the parking lot.
Table here with all this stuff.
I don't feel money.
So you came out here. Why did you do that, sir?
Oh, my God. He's not still asking some more follow-ups of this guy.
Wow.
Why did you not stay underneath the roof, sir?
Reading newspaper.
Yeah.
Reading newspaper. It's not responsive to the question.
Dodgers, sure. Kuroda, no good.
What?
Kuroda, no good.
Yeah.
Now he's telling us what he's reading in the paper.
Yes, talking about the Dodgers, yes.
That's the greatest.
And they aired it.
Oh, they aired the hell out of it.
I heard a guy on the radio, I think it was Channel 5 that they were covering on CNN or something like that, who didn't feel the earthquake, woke up because his dog was barking in the other room. I was asleep. I just had my wisdom teeth out. I didn't even feel the earthquake, but I heard my dog barking, so I got up, and that's when I saw that there was some stuff down in my apartment. That's the kind of high-quality first-hand report they were given yesterday.
Yeah, that was it was magic all day long.
We're on what's known as Antique Row.
Okay, so now they think we're not getting enough reports of damage. Let's go to a place called Antique Row.
Sure.
Because they've got a lot of fragile stuff there, and I imagine something fell and broke. There's got to be a report of some damage.
Here in Pomona, it is 2nd Street. It is full of antique shops, which you might imagine could be vulnerable in an earthquake like this. And certainly there was some minor damage in some of these stores, but not as bad as the owners of these shops had feared. One resident who made it through this earthquake is with me right now. Your name is Robert, you said?
Yes.
DeRocher?
Yes.
And you were watching one of the buildings. You were outside and watching one of the buildings during this quake, and what happened?
Oh, dear God.
That's the best.
And he
Did
says,
it move a little?
Moved a little.
Yeah.
Anything broken in your store? No.
No.
You know of any of the other owners here? No. Have you heard of any report? No. They just go on and on.
Is it possible something could have fallen? Could somebody have been hurt?
Can you show us where something might have fallen if it were harder?
Let's say the earthquake were worse.
Exactly.
Can you please try to recreate for us what would have fallen in your store?
Let's push some stuff over.
I do not have time.
That's what it looks like.
I do not shake it for me, would you? I do not have time to play all of the bad interviews that Channel 4 did, but I'll sprinkle them throughout the show.
Beautiful.
Oh, great.
Because they are the best, and I don't I don't want them to change a bit.
Of course not. We're not complaining because we want them to stop. We're complaining because we want them to do more.
So good. I wonder if Amy Winehouse felt the earthquake. You know? Like, where was she and what was she doing?
Well, we'll find out in a moment. That's Pennywise on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. I think they played, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, but didn't they play at the X Games last year? Didn't Pennywise do a show down there by the parking lot of Staples Center or something like that?
Right. Yeah. I think you're right.
It is that time of year again, of course. The X Games 14 start on Thursday. That's tomorrow. And if you want to go, we've got free tickets that you can earn. We're playing a new game here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. If you want your free X Games tickets and you're ready to earn them, give us a call right now on K-Rock.
All right, Amy Winehouse is in the news for a lot of different things right now, and we need to talk to her because none of them are good.
I agree.
Yeah.
She's bad in every way. Amy, good morning.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She's yelling
here we
at
go
paparazzi.
Again.
Yes, bro. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Hey, Amy. Amy.
Yeah.
Amy, can you hear us?
All right, turn this off. Hello?
Look, we heard that you were running around with a hose spraying people out in front of your house. Is that the paparazzi you're shooting or what?
No, my fans.
Your fans you're shooting.
Why? Because they keep showing up saying, oh, we love you. Oh, your music's so great. F off.
They want to be there when you die so they can steal stuff from your home, Amy.
You okay?
What?
Is this Amy Winehouse? Because you sound like a dude.
No, I'm Amy.
Okay.
Is this Keith Richards?
Is it true that you also raced the...
This is Mark and Brian.
Nice.
Is it true that you raced the paparazzi around the block?
Yeah, I challenged them to a race.
Why?
Because I thought that if I could teach them the benefits of physical fitness, mm-hmm. maybe they would see the light and then pick up another vocation.
Do you think you're the person to teach them about health?
Absolutely. I'm in amazing shape.
Okay.
I mean, just look at what I've done to my body and I'm still alive.
That's true.
Well, that's a good point. Amy, tell us, because we have a special relationship and we've talked to you a lot over the years, tell us why you were really in the hospital this week. It wasn't an adverse reaction to prescription medicine.
It was. Surprisingly, it was an adverse reaction to prescription medicine.
Okay. What kind of medicine was it?
It was heroin.
Okay, that's not prescription. There's no prescribing that.
No, I've got a guy.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I got a guy.
All right.
He prescribed it. Okay.
He prescribed it. And I had an adverse reaction. Usually I take heroin, no problem.
Right.
It's like baby aspirin.
Right.
For me.
Okay. Yeah.
But this time I ended up injecting it into my heart.
You injected heroin into your heart.
I plunged a cardiac needle into my chest through my breastbone and injected the heroin directly into my aorta.
Yeah, that's dangerous. You should not do that.
I had an adverse reaction to that.
I guess so.
I understand.
God.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The thing that we're most concerned about is, look, you can screw up your own life and those that choose to be around you, but please tell me the report in the press this week that you're now talking about wanting to have many children is not true.
I hate this metal fence. I hate it.
Yeah, she was also pounding on a metal fence.
I hate this fence.
Just started pounding on it for no reason.
I hate you, fence. You See, and your I'm just... fenciness.
Amy?
You and She's your not... ability to keep She's... people out of things or keep other people inside of things.
Okay, Amy, you're going to have to let that go. Look, you're not fit to be a mom if you're out there fighting with fences.
That's not true at all. I can't wait to have babies with Blake.
Blake's the dude that's serving a 27-month sentence on assault and obstruction of justice?
That's right. The minute my husband gets out of jail, we're going to start procreating.
Is it true
that?
Is it true that you want 5 kids and you also want 2 of them to be twins?
No, I want all 5 of them to be twins.
That's not really possible.
I want 5 twins.
I'm going to re-ask Bean's question. What makes you think you should have children?
I want 5 twins.
Okay.
But why? Why do you... You can't take care of yourself or your husband. What makes you think you can take care of a baby?
I only want five twins because I'm assuming if I have three pairs of twins, only five will survive.
Wow.
Wow.
So she's already building in the loss factor.
It's a plus or minus of one.
Wow.
For my family.
Most people don't go into having kids with that mindset, that we have to have a lot.
Well, you have to be realistic, don't you?
Well, if you're being realistic.
I mean, let's face it. What are the odds of me keeping six children alive?
Right,
well,
but that's you shouldn't be keeping any alive, though, is what we're saying.
I think five is generous.
But we're saying don't have any.
I think five is an optimistic number.
So do we.
But why not zero?
I'm looking on the bright side.
But it's not everybody needs to have kids.
Hold on a second. I got to go change this child.
You already have one?
No, I borrowed one.
Who would give you their baby?
Well, no one gave it to me.
Oh, you borrowed
it. I borrowed it.
I see.
Oh, I see. I got you.
So you can practice?
I was at Harrods the other day picking up some long sleeve shirts to cover my track mark.
Right.
And this woman had a baby in a stroller.
Can you soothe that baby, please? Because it's kind of annoying.
And so I took the baby and I said, oh, there, baby. Wouldn't you like to come home with me? And the baby said, yes, in my mind.
Yeah, that baby's not old enough to speak.
Oh, this is annoying.
Can you soothe her?
That's what we're saying.
Pick her up, shake
right,
her.
Look.
Sing to her.
Hold on a second.
I didn't mean shake her. I mean
hold
rock
on.
Her.
Let me just give you some of this.
No.
Amy, no. That's not...
Why? It's formula.
No.
Just snort the formula,
nope.
Baby.
Oh,
don't. Amy, please don't. Amy. Don't do that.
Oh.
Snort the formula.
Please don't.
Snort
the formula.
Please stop. Snort the formula.
Amy.
First of all.
The baby's quiet.
Oh, Amy.
Wow.
Wake up, baby.
This has gone horribly awry.
What's that noise? What's happening?
I'm punching a metal gate.
What? Why?
Because the baby's asleep. I want to play with it.
Yeah. Oh,
all right. Okay,
what color's a baby supposed to be?
Kind of light pink, maybe peach a little.
But nope. But the boys are supposed to be blue, right?
No babies
right.
are supposed
Hang
to be
up and call,
blue
call,
for boys,
no.
pink for girls.
No.
That's
no.
what I read.
Yeah, but that's not the color of their skin.
Oh.
Amy.
Hang up and call 999 immediately.
999. How do you spell that?
Okay.
Oh.
Ouch. That sounds
painful. Do you feel it? Yeah, we felt it, lady. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. X Games 14 begins tomorrow at Staples Center, Home Depot Center. It really is the biggest event in the world if you're into this sort of sports. I mean, there's nothing that... It's the Olympics, basically, but we're lucky enough that it happens every year, and it always happens here in Los Angeles. If you want to win tickets, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. I'll probably screw up the name of the game, Kevin. What do we call it at this time?
X Game or Sex Game?
Sex Game. Ho! X Game. Ho! Front side, back side, lip side, blunt. Donkey punch, jelly donut, stick it in her. 720 backflip, gay Mick twist. Blumpkin, Bismarck, her with your sex game. Ho! X Game. Ho! Sex game. Ho! X Game. Ho!
That is, that's unpleasant is what that is. All right, here's the way the game is played. 1-800-520-1067. It's very simple. You actually have a 50-50 chance of winning the tickets anyway, because we're going to give you the name of something that is either an X game or a sex position. All you have to do is identify. Tell us which one it is, and you win the tickets. So let's play the game and give it a try.
All right. Tracy is our first contestant in Corona. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Emmy Smith.
Good morning, Tracy.
All right, Tracy. Hopefully you'll get this. Listen up. Tuna melt. Tuna melt. Sex position or X game? What do you think?
We were thinking of going with sex game or X game because they rhyme.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking maybe a sex position.
Sex position.
Butterfly. A woman.
That's not right.
That's not the right one at all.
But no, you're correct.
Oh, okay. Like, what?
And you go in the
game. It is a sex game, but we don't have the right clip.
So we can't tell her what it is, unfortunately.
But we can imagine what a tuna melt is.
It's not something you want to do, though, Tracy. I'll tell you that.
It's not interesting to me.
No, but you are correct, so hold on.
Hang on, you've won tickets to the X Games this weekend. Okay, that didn't go as well as we hoped, but let's try contestant number two.
Here's what I was hoping. The list I had was in order?
Mm-hmm.
No, apparently not.
Oh, that's too easy,
Kevin. So I don't know if we have any of these clips, but we'll try. All right, okay. Violet in Hawthorne. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bina and Lisa.
Good morning.
All right, Violet, here's yours. Riding the steer. Riding the steer.
I'm going to say a freestyle.
So you're saying X Games.
Oh. Riding the steer. A man lies on his back while a woman his and she herself up and by gripping his knee.
Oh. I'm not sure I got that. Based on
there
the
was a time when we could play that stuff without all the beeps, but it's not now. I'm sorry.
Not so much anymore.
It sounds fun.
You're not correct, Violet. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Victor, who is calling from Moreno Valley. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning, Kevin and B. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Victor?
How you guys
all
doing?
Right, Vic. Good. We're good. Thanks. X game or sex game for you? Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart.
I'm going to go with X game.
He says X game.
And a Pop-Tart. When you come up faking, spin around, get inverted, and then do an invert.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. I wish there was more noise in the background so we could hear that announcer less.
All right. Vic, you have tickets. Please have a great time this weekend. Let's move along. Contestant number four is Elvin from Burbank. Hey, Elvin. How are you, man?
Morning, guys.
All right. Listen up. X game or sex game? For you, it's The Proposal. The Proposal.
Think sex game.
Really?
Sex game.
The Proposal. A man kneels in front of a woman with one knee on the while she is down with her legs.
Okay, I don't know what that was, but it was apparently a sex game.
You know, it's really not fair because Lisa's trying to take notes for the weekend, and she can't get any of this stuff. All right, way to go, Elvin.
Lisa, I'll play him for you unbeeped.
Oh, thank you.
No worries. Let's go to Jared, who's calling from San Dimas. Good morning, Jared.
Morning, guys. I'm Lisa May.
Hi, Jared.
All right, here you go. X game or sex game, the heel clicker. The heel clicker.
That's X game.
Yes.
Yep.
Well done, my friend. Good
Nicely
job.
Done. All right, you hold on. You got tickets.
How many is that? Is that three
That's
or four we're giving away?
That's three, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Scott, who's calling from Irvine. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May?
Very good.
All right, Scott, good luck to you. Here's yours. Butter slide. Butter slide.
I would go to the sex game.
That's what I would have thought.
But no.
60 handle pass and a little butter slide across the wig. Check.
Sorry, I'm wrong.
Yes, you were correct.
Okay, thanks.
He said sex game, though.
He did.
Yeah, and it's X game, so he's not correct.
Sorry, Scott.
I'm so
sorry, Scott. Nice try, though.
Sorry, Scott. All right, let's go to Mario in Los Angeles. Good morning, Mario.
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Mario.
I'm being told we have one pair left, Bean.
Okay.
Although that goes counter to everything we've said, too, so I don't know what's going on.
Here's yours. Around the world. Around the world.
I would go with X game.
You would go with X game. Yeah, that's not right.
Around the world.
Sex game.
And the partner's entire including
what?
The what? And
region. Oh, my God.
What happened? What was that? What was that? I didn't even understand it.
All right. Last chance to try to give away the last pair of tickets. And we will have more later in the show. But for X game or sex game, who's our final contestant?
This is Tomareg. OPEG. It changes as I look. Greg. They were changing it in the other room every time I said it. All right. Your name is Greg, right?
Correct.
This is going well. All right.
All right, Greg. Truck driver. Truck driver. X game or sex game?
That's X game.
Yeah.
X game is correct.
Spins the bars around there with the truck driver. Big suicide no-hander sticking his...
There you go.
And a suicide no-hander.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Absolutely. All right. Well, all right, congratulations. Won. You're going to the X games.
What?
Was that you? Did you just do that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hello, Lucifer.
Make that noise again.
Sex game. Ho! X game. Ho! Front side, back side, lip side, blunt. Donkey punch, jelly donut, stick it in her.
720 backflip, gay McTwist. Blumpkin Bismarck, f*** with your fist.
Sex game. Ho! X game. Ho!
Time for the Ralph Showbiz V. What's going on, Ralph?
Finally, a little good news for Shia LaBeouf. Apparently, he wasn't at fault for the accident that caused his truck to roll this weekend.
Hmm.
It had been reported that he slammed into another car while trying to negotiate an illegal left-hand turn, but in reality, his turn was legal, At the time of the accident, another driver ran a red light and plowed into him.
Let me guess, a woman?
I believe it was, in fact.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I wouldn't guess woman. I would have guessed old.
I would have guessed drunk.
Well, it was 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday, so yeah. A lot of old people don't really hang those hours.
That's true. You know what I'm surprised at, Ralph, and you're right, that is good news for Shia, is that he's still in the hospital, usually for something like hand surgery. I mean, unless he's got a pin through it or something and can't move it, I'm trying to think what could keep him in 4 or 5 days later.
By all accounts, it was extensive hand surgery, so no word on what they had to do, whether it was reconstruct the hand or what, but it was all hunked up.
You could have brain surgery, and they'll kick you out on the street in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Well, you could. You know, it's minor surgery.
Oh, no, I didn't.
So he will be dealing with the DUI charges and the painful hand recovery, but at least there's some good news that he won't be held accountable for the accident. So he's got that going for him.
Sure.
Just when you thought it was safe to open Playgirl magazine again, Psycho Mike.
Uh-oh.
In Touch magazine reports that the magazine has offered a ton of money to Spencer Pratt for a nude layout.
You want to run that by me again?
Yes, Playgirl would like to see Spencer be their centerfold.
They're the only ones.
Spencerfold. No word on whether he's accepted or not, but what won't he do for money?
That's awesome.
True.
So, I wonder if his flesh-colored beard also translates down to his...
Mike will let us know.
Scrotal region.
Mike gets it in the mail, so
yeah,
he'll let us know.
He has got a prescription. Yeah.
If
prescription
he decides he wants that $12 million house, he may be doing a lot of things that he ordinarily would turn down.
He may be wearing the Lindsay Lohan leggings with the knee pad building.
Yeah, if that's what it takes, make the mortgage, yeah.
Pamela Anderson wants you to know her new reality show is not a reality show.
What?
She tells In Touch magazine that she hates reality TV, but she loves documentaries. And that's what her show is.
Pam Anderson?
A TV documentary.
Isn't... All right. Okay.
Is it a documentary when they say, okay, Pam, we need you to do something here. Have a wacky garage sale where you sell your panties on your front lawn. Is that a documentary when they orchestrate
no,
that?
No, that's a reality show.
Is that a reality show?
That's a reality
show.
That's
like Denise Richards' reality
show. Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Pam Anderson?
The Comedy King and, of course, Muscular Dystrophy Association spokesperson Jerry Lewis... had a little trouble at the airport yesterday. Las Vegas International Airport, the aging comedian tried to sneak a handgun onto the plane.
Oh, my God.
He was packing?
What is Jerry Lewis doing with a pistol?
The .22 caliber pistol, which was registered to him, was confiscated by cops, and they said he'll have to go to court to get it back. He didn't have a concealed weapons permit. Apparently, Jerry was headed to Michigan to do a one-man show when he was stopped at the Las Vegas airport.
Hmm.
He called it his fun gun. He says he uses it on stage. It's a prop.
But it's a real gun?
It's a real gun, yeah.
Oh, no.
But he calls it the fun gun.
Isn't he to the age where we shouldn't be giving him live ammunition or live weapons?
Yeah.
Yes.
Although I think he's great, and I think he's wonderful in everything he does, and I would never say a word against him.
So do I. And he was in the right. They should have let him on the plane with the... Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. Don't stop Mr. Lewis from doing anything Mr. Lewis would care to do.
I agree. Because he is a...
It's like my dad said to me once.
Yes.
He said, if you love a lot...
Right.
And I indeed get love a lot.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've loved a lot.
Yes, yeah.
You're going to get love a lot.
Okay. Well, that clears it up.
It does clear it up.
His lawyers are very clear in their minds. So
yes, they
we
are.
Would like to say again, everything
and
he does is
they're very
good.
Vocal and very persuasive.
The TSA should have let him on the plane.
Absolutely.
With the gun.
A new James Bond theme has been finally recorded. The song for Quantum of Solace has been laid down, and interestingly, recorded by none of the names that we heard before might potentially be recording it.
Oh.
Well, we knew Amy was out, right?
Yeah, although she said she wanted to do it. She was not invited back into the studio to give it a shot. Apparently, Alicia Keys and Jack White are doing a duet. For the Quantum of Solace song, which is called Another Way to Die, which would have been an infinitely better name for the film than Quantum of Solace.
Yeah, true.
I guess they gave up trying to rhyme solace. Let's just call it Another Way to Die. Do that instead.
They are both great artists. I can't wait to hear what they come up with together.
I have a clip if you want to hear it.
Jack wrote the song, produced the song, plays drums on the track, and Alicia sings along with him. It's the first time a Bond song has ever been a duet. So it's kind of cool.
Sounds like a great idea.
All right, Kevin, we want to hear it.
Great.
Song. Got it on.
Here we go.
Yeah, online.
How great is male ass?
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric. That's what I'm saying.
And Cheech and Chong are going to reunite.
Thank God.
It's been 25 years since Cheech and Chong have performed together. Did you miss them?
No. Not a big Cheech and Chong fan.
They could be good. They could be good.
They're celebrating the fact that their movie Up in Smoke is 30 years old this year. Hmm. They will be announcing their Hey, What's That Smell tour at the Troubadour today. They're going to have a press conference and talk about where they'll be showing up. So
they're doing stand-up?
Apparently they're doing their live show, yeah. Which they did for many years. Before they ever started doing the movies, they did live stand-up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, but there was a time where comedy albums were multi-million sellers, and they were one of the very biggest at it. I mean, they had 10 platinum albums or something. They were huge.
What? Right.
They had their songs, their parody songs, comedy songs, actually hit the top 10 singles charts.
Yep, they sure did.
They had 3 top 10 hits.
No kidding.
Yeah. So they were quite the powerhouse back in the 70s.
Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus?
That was my favorite.
That was a good one.
I liked Basketball Jones. That was my favorite. Got a Basketball Jones!
That was them?
Yeah, it was Cheech and Chong. See, Kevin? You learned something from the Kevin and Bean Show. Tune in more often.
I don't trust you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor, turned 61 years old today. Jean Reno, very talented actor, is 60. Lawrence Fishburne turns 47. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 45. Vivica A. Fox turns 44. Christopher Nolan, director of The Dark Knight, as well as Batman Begins and Memento, he is 38. Christine Taylor, who played Marcia in the Brady Bunch movies, of course married to Ben Stiller, 37 years old today. Hilary Swank is 34 years old. Jamie Presley. Earl is 31, and Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck is 26 years old today. A lot of lookers today, showbiz.
No kidding.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the beat.
Check it, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, Money.
Hey.
Hi, Money.
Former sports guy in the studio with us.
Come on. How about that?
Now we're talking.
What's going on, dude? How you been? You feel that?
Tell me you heard that this morning.
Can we play that again?
Yes.
This is Stryker on the air when the earthquake happened yesterday. And for some reason, Lightning felt the need to run down the hallway and inform him that there was an earthquake.
It was so great because Lightning, out of all the people in the building, is the only one who felt the need to go on the air because he had so much important information. And we're going to talk to him next hour. But here's how it sounded on the air yesterday morning on K-Rock at 11:43 a.m.
So Rage Against the Machine is doing Lollapalooza. Radiohead's going to be at... Whoa! Did you guys just feel that earthquake? Holy mackerel. Oh, my God. Whoa! Oh, my God, there's an earthquake!
I'm not supposed to panic like that, though. Hold on.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Here comes Lightning. He's running down the hall.
Wow. Is it still shaking?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Did you feel that?
Yes, we're on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my. It threw me out of my seat.
I know.
I was talking about, thank God there was an earthquake because I forgot what I was talking about. I like lost my train of thought and then there was an earthquake and it gave me an excuse so I didn't really screw up. That was strong. The speakers up here, I thought were going to fly and smash me in the head.
Yeah, it was nuts. I thought somebody was walking on a roof just a second ago. Wow, all right. Well, you're still on the air.
All right. Hey, thanks for checking in with us, Lightning.
Thanks for that. I'm sorry. You thought somebody was walking on the roof?
Yeah, that's his story.
That's what an earthquake feels like. So, you know, I've never been in an earthquake before, Lightning. Could you maybe describe what the sensation is to live through an earthquake? Well, have you ever found somebody walk on your roof before? It's just that.
It's kind of weird because the stuff shakes under your feet, really, not above your head, right?
Right. Yeah. The earth moves. Your feet move more than your head, yeah.
Right. Like someone's walking on the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can promote a competing station. I won't, but I was listening to NPR. Mm-hmm. I was in the car yesterday during the earthquake.
I mean, AirTalk. Yeah, me too.
You were listening to it as well?
Uh-huh.
That sounds crappy.
It is ingrained into their freaking genetic makeup to not get excited.
Yes.
Okay, there's an earthquake right now, and... All right, now that that's passed, let's maybe talk to some of our listeners to see how you reacted to that earthquake.
I think we'll have to change our programming for just a moment find out.
Let's take a break and program.
See, that's more appropriate than how
Stryker.
I mean, Stryker's...
No, I love Stryker.
Stryker's fine. I have no complaints about Stryker because he was reacting in the moment. But then he moved on and did his show, okay, as opposed to so many radio and television shows that tried to continue to hype that thing up all day long yesterday when it was pretty much a non-event.
It took calls one after the other. What did you feel today? Well, I was really surprised.
Yes.
And it was, and they all had the same follow-up question the entire day. Did anything fall off your walls or shelves? No. All right, let's go to our next call.
Did you watch Channel 4? I went right to Channel 4.
I went right to Channel 4 as well.
They interview kids, everybody that they could find, they air them. Guys yawning, guys not caring. What were you feeling? How did that feel to you?
My favorite thing on the Channel 4 coverage is, you know, it's Jennifer Bjorklund's time to shine. Nothing ever happens in the middays, right? So she is on the coverage when the earthquake happens. Freaking Colleen Williams, the attention whore, can't let her get one freaking newscast in. She's on the phone from her Pasadena home. Yes, it was really strange. Everything started shaking and my dog freaked out. Thanks, Colleen. Why don't you shut up and come back at night?
Is she the lightning of Channel 4?
Yeah, she was the lightning of Channel 4 on the phone. They're in the middle of a conversation with a guy from the freaking Geological Survey, and they have to break in with Colleen Williams saying
her
things were shaking
story.
In Pasadena.
The other great thing that we were talking about earlier, we were playing some of the Channel 4 coverage, is that everybody's story is the same, and the reporters also lived through it, and everybody watching it also lived through it. They're all telling each other what everybody already knows over and over and over again. That's what's great about
Same story. Yeah, it was shaking.
Same story.
Hey, anything fall off the walls? No! Great!
Now, here's my favorite thing. The important question of what were you doing? They always have to ask that. And some people have great detail. I was holding my one-year-old, and my wife was holding the two-year-old, and then we were getting some dinner. We weren't getting dinner, but we were having lunch. And you just go, shut up! I don't care what you were doing! Unless it's somehow interesting to the story.
Yeah, unless a sinkhole opened up and swallowed your one-year-old into the middle of the earth.
That's a story.
Yes.
If you're performing open-heart surgery, that's cool if the earthquake hits and then you have to adapt. But if you're in your car, in your house, or at work, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Just eating granola.
Just refuse to answer, I guess.
So that's why I came in, right?
That's why you came in.
You got me instead of the seismic expert.
Thanks for joining us.
You know, downgraded to a 5.4.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay. All right, then.
You came in because although it seems like the slow time in the world of sports, once basketball is over, a lot of people complain that it's just baseball. But there actually is a lot of stuff kind of going on right now. And the Olympics are only a week away. So,
there's
stuff happening.
I can't wait for the opening ceremonies.
That's great, Bean. Pay the man, mother effer.
Oh! Did we have a bet here?
Yeah, it's my annual collection. You know, some people get the George Bush refund check in the mail every single year. I get my Bean stimulus package of 100
yes,
credits because for some ungodly reason he decides to email me every year. So we on again this year? Mariners versus Angels, best record.
Oh.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, Bean, thank you so much for reminding me.
It's
and of course,
taking candy from a baby.
Yeah, the Angels are in the news because, more surprising than an earthquake in Southern California, they actually made a trade at the damn deadline, which really never happens.
Because they don't usually need it because they're already so good.
Yeah, well, that's what they kind of say. Well, we're winning, so we don't need to acquire extra, you know, players that make more money and add to our payroll, and that's kind of their philosophy. Plus, there's this whole idea that guys come in, help you win, and then they leave
right
at the end of the year. But they decided to do it this year because they really are probably the best team in baseball.
They have the best record in baseball, and I think you got to consider that they got a real good shot at winning it all this year. Who did they get? Miguel Tejera, right?
No, not Miguel Tejera. That would be Miguel Tejada, and they got Mark Teixeira. But I can understand your confusion.
That's the confusion, yeah.
I don't know these people.
Because of the way he spells his name. And I have to give credit to my man Zeke for pointing this out. Ready for this? Follow me here. T-E-I-X-E-I-R-A. So much for the I before E, except after C rule, right? Two times of
bogus.
That man's name, E-I.
What's the name again?
Teixeira. Mark Teixeira. T-E-I.
Where's he from?
He's from, Baltimore.
What?
Yeah, I think he was an extra in The Wire, season 4 or something like that, and he happens to be a great switch hitter. He's probably one of the best players in baseball.
So how far back are the Mariners, then? What's the spread?
Mariners, I believe, kind of like, you know, in beer pong, when you've thrown that thing in, like, 10 of the 11 cups, and the guy just says, fine, I quit already. That's kind of where the Mariners
where
are right now. They're already drunk, passed out on the floor, and the Angels
we're
are
we're eliminated from next year, actually.
So 100 credits, I would imagine, would be showing up in the mail any day.
Yep. You know, and maybe instead of doing it in single dollar bills this year, you can do it in pennies, Bean. That would be great. Just put it in a giant box of pennies.
I would, but it's too expensive to mail it to you. But I guess I do need to. Usually I wait till I absolutely have to at the end of the season till, you know, I put it off as long as possible. This year, the Mariners were so bad that I caved before the All-Star break. I wrote to him and I said, all right, I'm just going to send you the money now because it's worthless to have.
But you didn't.
So.
But he didn't, no.
Yeah.
I did. Still holding out.
What I like about Bean.
All right, we need to take a break. But Brett Favre, has a showdown with the Packers.
He does.
It's really getting interesting now.
Very exciting.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi today, as a matter of fact.
Today is the day he's threatening to show up? All right. We'll tell you about that when we get...
Well, I was in Fontana with my grandchildren, and I was in the kitchen with my baby, who's one, and all of a sudden we could feel a rock...
Speaking to other friends, family members in the area, how's everybody been doing?
Well, my son was working in Rancho, and he is a manager...
I was trying to get your husband to talk to us. He didn't. He seemed kind of camera shy. How is he holding up?
Well, he was holding the four-year-old, and she was upset because she's never been through one.
All right. Okay.
But if the four-year-old had been through an earthquake, she'd know what this was and wouldn't be upset.
Same reporter, same woman, asked her about everyone she knows. Tell me about kids, relatives, husband.
He's a manager. What does he manage?
I heard a guy being interviewed yesterday who was at a movie screening, and he's like, yeah, I was fine. It was no big deal because I've lived in California a long time. But there was this one woman who was really freaking out, and she was crying. And then the reporter asked her like four follow-up questions about what that woman whose first earthquake was yesterday, what her experience was like. It was unbelievable.
Scintillating. It makes you pine for the old storm watch, right?
Oh, I love Channel 4. I don't want them to ever change.
No.
They're the best.
It's 7:26 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Former sports guy Matt Money Smith is here. Of course, he does the great afternoon show with our friend Petros over there on AM 570 each day. And Brett Favre could not be more of a dick than he is right now. Am I right, Money?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one for me because I just look at it as straight business. You know, if you're in a business of winning football games and you're the Green Bay Packers, then Brett Favre, even with all the crappy pulls in the offseason and crying at the press conference and packing his bottom lip full of Copenhagen, he's still the best damn quarterback you could have on your football team. So when he says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and come back, you say, fantastic. Don't have to go with old Aaron Rodgers, who looks like he's 60, despite the fact he's only 25. We can go with Brett Favre again, but that apparently is not the case.
So do you think so in other words, it sounds to me like you're saying the Packers made a mistake by not basically going to Aaron Rodgers and saying, look, we had good intentions of telling you you were the new starting quarterback, but now that Brett's coming back, I'm sorry, we have to put it off another year.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. No public relations nightmare there. Brett's happy, the fans are happy, and take it from there.
What do they owe Aaron Rodgers? You know, they owe him nothing. You know, this is a guy, by the way, just to kind of give you the Aaron Rodgers story. When he was drafted, it was talked about him being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. The 49ers decided to go with this guy, Alex Smith, instead, a different quarterback. And he is the guy, if you ever watch the draft, that sits in the green room, that's on site, that's waiting to go up to shake the commissioner's hand, that lasted until like the 27th pick.
Oh.
So he's there for like six freaking hours before the Green Bay Packers actually rescue him from his giant slide down the draft board.
Wow.
And ever since has just kind of been another one of Brett Favre's understudies, like so many have before him that have gone on to pretty good careers. There's a couple of Mark Brunell was his understudy. So I mean there's been some pretty damn good quarterbacks, but for some reason this is the guy they want to run their football team, so much so that they've got some dude, and they got a lot of people in the Packers organization, just an observation I've made, with a lot of same initials, you know, and I don't trust those guys. Ted Thompson, general manager, Mike McCarthy, head coach, and now Mark Murphy is the guy who's apparently flown to Hattiesburg, Mississippi today, where Brett Favre is, to beg him not to show up to training camp.
Okay, so today's the day he's threatening to show up.
Well, he already faxed in what he had to do because he retired. Mm-hmm. They then pull his salary off of the Green Bay Packers cap, $12 million, so they can now sign other players or however they do it to, you know, make sure all the teams, there's parity in the league. So he faxes in his request to the league office that says, you know, I'm sure he was wearing Wrangler jeans and playing football with a bunch of guys. We'll get into that later. I don't understand that commercial at all. How do guys play pickup football games in freaking jeans? How does someone at Wrangler say, you know what, I got a great idea to sell jeans. Let's show guys playing pickup football in freaking jeans with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
So he faxes in his request for reinstatement to the league, which means that the league is going to have to reinstate him, which means he's now a Green Bay Packer, and because they're in training camp, He's supposed to be there with them.
Now, he's been threatening all week to show up at training camp.
Yes.
Right? And the general manager has been trying to tell him, no, please don't.
Do not show up at training camp.
That's a PR nightmare for them to basically lock him out.
Well, and I think that to Brett Favre's credit, you know, when this whole thing started, he said, I'm not going to be a backup. I'm not coming back to be a backup quarterback. He now says, how about this? How about we just make it an open competition? And you go ahead and let the coach decide who's the better quarterback, me or Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. What do you say we just run it like that? And of course, there's just they cannot win unless they say, Brett, come back.
Right.
It'll be an open competition. You'll end up being our quarterback and all will be well.
Unless Aaron Rodgers is perfect throughout the season, by the way. Right. They are totally going to get anger.
Have you ever seen what people look like at Packer games? They've got dead animals on their heads.
Yeah, they're crazy. Yeah.
They're not going to like a kid from Cal with long hair.
Yeah.
This isn't a deal, by the way, where the Packers are forced to look toward the future because their guy is worn out. This is a guy who took them to the NFC Championship game last season. It's not like they're just hanging on for nostalgia's sake. The dude's good.
Third best quarterback in the league last year. One errant pass away from being in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Where the Packers, you know what they got in Green Bay?
Nothing. Just the Packers.
Snow
and ice.
But I agree with your analysis, Money, and if they're going to come to that conclusion ultimately, why didn't they have this conversation 2 weeks ago and just make the announcement then that that's what they were going to do?
I think because they're so chapped at the fact he does this every single offseason. And, you know, I think if you're an executive or you're a head coach, you like to think you have some sort of authority over personnel decisions. And
sure.
This guy kind of usurps that authority from you. So, or usurps all of them.
Usurps.
And I think that's kind of their issue, is that all of their offseason plans end up getting shot to hell by Brett Favre. And it drives them nuts that every single season he changes what they intend to do going into the next year.
Yeah, I can see that.
He ought to make up his mind, though. It is a dick move for him to do the big press conference where he announces his retirement and then change his mind a few weeks later. I mean, you know, they were even talking at one point about retiring his jersey at the first game of the season.
They were going to, yeah. That was the plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's how far along it was. So, I mean, I blame him ultimately, but it does seem like they've handled it poorly as well.
Yeah, I think the problem is what do you do? Do you continue to play, you know, this game and wonder what's going to happen next year and the year after that? Will he continue to do this? Which, you know, to some degree, I would just say, sure, I don't care. You know what, Aaron? Right. Shut up. You know, it's not like you're going to, you're still young. Guys that have been behind Brett have gone on to have very successful careers. Just deal with it. It's Brett freaking Favre, and if we don't put him out there, people in Green Bay are going to freak the hell out. So,
which they are, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. What happens to his legacy if he ends up pulling a Joe Montana and goes to play for, you know, somebody else for the final year?
I think it depends where he plays, because I think there's a couple situations that could actually work out real well for him. You know, yeah, teams that have good defenses and solid running games, but just don't have that. You know, look, quarterbacks are hard to come by. I mean, you can see that by watching your typical game on any given Sunday. Yeah. And I think that's kind of why Brett makes sense for so many teams, because there's a lot of good defenses. There's some really good running backs, but there's no quarterback. So you get him into like Tampa Bay with John Gruden, that's got a great defense, a solid running game, and Brett very well could take them to the NFC Championship, maybe even a Super Bowl.
If he does that, they're not going to let it happen, though, are they? Do the Packers have the ability to not allow it?
Yes, they do. They just do. Welcome him back and say, great, here you go. Or what they're trying to do is orchestrate a trade now, because they don't want to release him. They release him, and likely he goes to Minnesota and just kind
of... their division.
Yes, in their
and
division.
He plays against them on opening day.
At Lambeau Field. I mean,
wow. Come on.
Disaster. So that's why they can't release him. And word is, there's some speculation that if they do trade him, they would put in a poison pill into the agreement for the trade, that if, in fact, that team then went on to trade Brett Favre to the Bears or the Vikings, they would have to surrender, like, you know, half their franchise and $30 million just to ensure
just to make sure he doesn't play in their division.
Yeah.
It is fascinating, though. Who would have ever predicted such great off-the-field drama in the offseason this year? It's
amazing.
Yeah, I
mean, what, that doesn't involve the police blotter for the NFL? Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, typically, it's just dude roughs up wife or runs over a pedestrian. Instead, we got some pretty good off-the-field sort of on-the-field
action. Do you think they'll have security, like, at the field where they're practicing to try and keep them out? Or?
That's the big question. What happens
if
Brett just decides to grab a plane, show up at camp?
And he says, hey, I'm a Packer. You haven't released me. I work for you. It's training camp. Let me in.
Wrangler jeans, onto the field,
sure.
Taking snaps and winning the damn quarterback job.
Winning the Super Bowl in the jeans.
In the Wrangler
That's
freaking jeans.
All right. Well, we hear something today, Matt.
Yeah. Well, today or tomorrow. This is the problem, and this is why, you know, that this is the communism aspect of the NFL.
Money sees communism in everything. By the way,
is that, you know, Roger Goodell? This should be simple, cut and dry. You know, reinstatement letter, fax to the league. League says, you're back. Brett Favre shows up at camp. Instead, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, has gotten involved and is trying to broker some sort of agreement between the team and Brett so he doesn't show up, so there isn't a circus, so the team and Brett can figure out what the next move is. Instead of just simply saying, this is a guy who's under contract from the Packers. He's asked to be, you know, reinstated to the league. Whatever. Deal with it, Green Bay. You know, it's your mess, and I'm the commissioner of the league. I have no business in this mess, right? Because it's a team player issue, but that's not the case. They want to try and make as pretty a face on this thing as they can.
So he still has 2 years left on his contract,
yeah,
right? Brett Favre?
Wow. Yeah. He's like 40. Likes to chew, lives in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and plays football in jeans. You tell
yes,
me.
Yes, he does. And hell plays it well.
Hell of a quarterback.
All right, Matt Money Smith, thanks for coming in. It's always good to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the Olympics. We're going to have to talk to you when those start, especially the opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies.
And you heard, by the way, that Ren Artest got traded, right? The guy that the Lakers were
Houston,
after.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's going to Houston now. His giant ass and his bad attitude showing up
in
Houston.
I do not like him.
Really?
Nope.
I'm a big fan.
Are you really?
Well, you know, he slaps his wife around, starves his dogs, and goes into stands and beats up fat dudes with giant beers and glasses.
No, I can see your point.
That made me not like him, but I can see that.
My kind of guy.
I can see that. X Games 14 start tomorrow. And we have more tickets you can win later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, motocross legend Carrie Hart joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk to former producer Lightning. Now he's the guy behind all the excitement at KROQ.com. We'll talk about what he was doing during the earthquake yesterday.
That was crazy.
You feel that? First, though, why the hate for the Something Store, which is my favorite site on the internet? What's up with you guys?
Well, I don't know why the hate for the Belgian prime minister keeps asking me to send him $25,000 in a bank account because I won a lottery.
But I get stuff every time I mail $10 to the Something Store, and there's nothing like the excitement of that package arriving in your mailbox. You don't know what it is. It's a thrill. It's like Christmas every day at my house when the mailman comes.
And then the disappointment when you open it and see the piece of crap
like
they sent you for $10.
It's like Christmas Day, and you get underwear from your aunt.
Have been delighted with every purchase I've made.
I swear to God, if you start sending me $10 a day, I will send you something.
Send me $9 a day, I'll send you something. How about that?
Well, we asked producer Alex to line up a representative from the Something Store because I am obsessed with it. And the director of operations, Sammy Bay, is on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
We
are good.
Well, we're doing very well. Tell us the short version of what the Something Store is all about. How did it get started?
Okay, we launched Something Store in November 2007 with just a simple promise. Customers will send us $10 and we will ship something to their door.
Right, okay. And where do you get all the merchandise that you send out, Sammy?
The merchandise comes from a variety of different sources, large wholesalers, even smaller smaller manufacturers, every kind of items that we collect from national and regional suppliers.
Do you get some of it from the dumpster behind the 99-cent store?
No.
You get those little prizes from arcades that you have to turn in 5,000 tickets for to get a little.
This isn't the kind of Jack's box. This isn't the kind of stuff. The stuff that you are thinking of is super cheap crap. The stuff that they send is actually good merchandise that's new.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, as a customer, as a frequent and satisfied customer, I've got no complaints with the stuff. Give us an idea, our listeners who haven't been to your site, somethingstore.com, give us an idea, Sammy, of the range of items that you send out on a daily basis.
It really changes a lot, and we try to change our inventory almost every 2 weeks. You know, so the items can range from small electronic gadgets to... we have crack ahead. That's a little egg-shaped planter with an attitude on its face. And we have...
I'm sorry, what was that? Crackerhead?
Yes, crack ahead.
Crack ahead.
Crack ahead.
It's a little egg-shaped planter.
Exactly. With attitude on its face. How many of the items would you say, Sammy, are worth $10?
How many?
Yeah. What percentage?
No, I want to say something before...
what percentage is worth the $10?
Let me just...
Then you can say anything you want. You can say anything you want after you tell us the percentage.
Okay, sure. A percentage, I would
say.
Five?
One.
Six. Three.
Over 50%.
No!
Over 50%.
I will tell you something. Okay, you get a zipper bag?
Yes, he got the zipper.
I got the zipper bag. Yeah. That's what I got the first time, right.
I will tell you, how much do you think that retails for?
2 cents.
The zipper bag.
I will tell you, and you can check it out, that retails for $16.
Oh, Sammy.
$5.95 shipping at uncommongoods.com. It's a company that I used to work before.
How about that? So the zipper bag that you guys have made so much fun of is actually a value.
Okay. But, Bean, let me just ask you this. Where's the zipper bag now? What did you do with the little purse with 12 zippers on it? Did you carry it around with stuff in it?
No, it may come in. It's not.
When? When is it going to come in handy?
It might come in handy.
When?
There may come a time when I need to put something in a pouch that I have easy and immediate access to, and I'll be able to unzip it from any place on the purse. You never know.
Really?
I'm saying it may happen.
Why don't Bean bust a zipper sometime? He's got extras now on that bag.
Here's the point, guys. I mailed off the $10 knowing that there was no guarantee what I was going to get back. And then when it arrived, I was excited. I opened it and I thought, I thought that's kind of cool. It's not something I would have gone out and bought, but I didn't feel disappointed in it. I was happy to have it. I thought it was worthwhile.
No, the point is...
I'm sending another $10, get a crack ahead, and then put it in your zipper bag.
I did send in another 10 bucks.
And I got the miniature toolkit, the 17-piece miniature toolkit, which is going to come in very handy sometime.
Stop calling it a toolkit.
It is a toolkit.
It's a pair of tweezers and an eyeglass screwdriver.
I think point is that zipper bag is only worth the $20 that they say it is if you want it. If you don't want it, it's worth zero.
Which Bean doesn't.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I could buy a Clippers ticket for about $40. It doesn't mean I want it and go see them.
Doesn't mean you want to go see
or
them,
that
right.
It's worth it.
Or that it's worth $40.
Now, Sammy, you do have a place on somethingstore.com that you can click and see the items they're being sent out that day, at least some of the items. And I know you have a wide variety. You can't show them all. But on Friday, you sent an iPod Shuffle to Minnesota.
Yes.
Do you send out a lot of those?
Yeah, about 100%, Bean.
Not a lot of those.
Not a lot of iPods.
I want to say something on this.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You know, we help people take the something or idea for what it is. It's entertainment, not a source of bargain shopping.
Right. So most of the time, it's not worth the $10 you spend on it.
Exactly. A lot of people have enough fun with something store even before their item arrives.
Nothing's more fun than spending $10 on a piece of gimmicky merchandise. That's true.
Maybe you'll get an iPod Shuffle.
Right. But I hope for the iPod Shuffle. I also hope for the art kit. That looks like it'd be pretty awesome.
You
too.
Understand that the last time I was looking for a car, I heard an advertisement that you could go get a certain car for like $19.99 a month or whatever. And then they sell one like that. And then that's gone immediately, and the rest of them are all regular price. They can do that with I sent out an iPod Shuffle on Friday.
But that's entertaining when you go to the car lot and find out that you've been swindled, right?
Well, according to the site, the somethingstore.com has sent out over 20,000 somethings.
Right!
Since
yes,
October.
To 20,000 suckers!
I am a repeat customer, and you know what? Sammy, I'm sending you another $10 today, my friend.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on
today.
Sammy,
you're a genius. You are a genius, Sammy.
You're a genius for taking advantage of retarded people.
Please.
You are. You're very smart for that. I'm not taking advantage of retarded people.
It's important to come to America and realize that it's filled with chumps and suckers and to be able to make a buck off of those people.
Good for you.
Congratulations to you, sir, for recognizing the American dream.
You rule, Sammy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You'll get $10 from Bean.
Funny, what's that note you wrote right there? What does it say about the something store?
It doesn't say anything.
What does it say?
It sounds like a good deal, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I can't read it. I have terrible handwriting.
Well, I can read it. Hold it up. Does the something store support terrorism?
How dare you?
Oh, why would you
even? It's a good question. 7:56, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You might be able to get away with that stuff on AM, mister, but this is professional radio.
You can get away with that on AM. Yeah.
It's time for the Not Sports Report.
You send it in and then...
I send it along to Osama.
We are going to Kabul.
They need more bullets.
Can they come after me when I'm on somebody else's show? Does it work that way?
I think they come after us. Well done.
How would you like to be a wildly successful producer in Hollywood?
Yes.
Okay. Making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would.
But it costs you personally. What's the price for success? What's the price you would pay?
Is it cash?
If you send me $10, I will make you a producer. And I will give you a certificate of producership. This is an interesting story about Nigel Lithgow. If that name doesn't ring a bell to you, he is the producer of American Idol. And So You Think You Can Dance. Does a bunch of TV shows over in England. Huge success.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he tells TV Guide magazine that since he's been producing American Idol here in America, the stress has taken its toll on his life.
Okay.
He has had a heart attack where he lost the use of the back of his heart. Killed the muscle in the back of his heart.
Okay.
He had intestinal cancer. He lost 16 feet of intestine so far.
Dude.
And his marriage has dissolved since he's been working on American Idol here in the States.
Not worth it.
Worth it? American Idol producer?
Not worth it.
Nope. Given that all that has happened to him since he started producing in America?
If you don't have your health, Ralph, you don't have anything.
Oh, thank you, Richard.
I'm going to be the lone voice that says worth it.
Let's face it. With the money you're making off American Idol, you can buy a new heart,
right?
You can get a new one of those.
Buy a new wife, too.
You can buy everything. Definitely get a new wife, probably hotter. And how many feet of intestine do you really need? That's what
I'm
looking
for. You have like 7 miles of intestine.
As long as intestine goes from my mouth to my other end, I think that's enough intestine. I think there's spare intestine in the human body. I think God gave you extra.
I agree.
Just for this sort of situation.
Just in case.
So I'm saying bring it on.
Okay. Nice. Worth it.
Just saying, it's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah.
In American Idol. Warner Brothers has announced they're working on a new feature film starring Marvin the Martian.
That was a cartoon at some point?
That's a Z24 modulator.
What is that? I don't even know what
Marvin
that is.
Marvin the Martian was the one who was always trying to
blow
up the Earth.
We're just making stupid voices for the hell of it. That's Marvin's voice.
That was when Bugs Bunny goes to the moon and Marvin the Martian's trying to blow up the Earth.
They're going to do a full-length movie?
An entire full-length feature film, combination live-action and computer animation, starring Marvin the Martian.
That sounds unnecessary.
What are they thinking? Yeah, forget Bugs, forget Daffy, forget Porky. Yeah. It's a long list of characters before you get to Marvin the Martian, I think, for feature films. But apparently wildly popular with some people, and they think it's going to be a hit.
Christian Bale's going to play.
Yes, Christian
Marvin
Bale.
The Martian.
I'm Marvin the Martian. I'm going to blow up your planet. How do you feel about that?
Stop it with the voice. Britney Spears is looking good these days. I've seen the most recent pictures, but comes at a price. She has lost 16 feet of her intestine.
No, I don't think that's true. That's the other dude.
The muscle in the back of her heart and her marriage.
That's the American Idol dude.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm blending these two together. Apparently, she's spending $22,000 a month.
A month?
A month. On looking good.
Wow.
A nutritionist, a dietitian, a personal trainer, a private choreographer. All so that she can lose some weight and get back into fighting weight for the...
Britney Spears. What about her?
The big comeback.
It wasn't just 2,200 entries into the something store?
No. It was $22,000 a month.
A month.
Worth it? Not worth it.
No, not so far, I don't think.
Well, she's looking pretty good. Have you seen the most recent pictures? She's in Cabo in a white bikini. She looks tan. She looks taut.
I guess if you have endless money, that's... But $22,000
Don't you think you could do it for a lot less?
Yes!
You think you could get in shape for a lot less than $22,000?
I don't think you need a dietitian and a nutritionist for when they...
Probably. Well,
one thing?
Tells you what to eat, and the other one tells you how much of it to eat.
Okay.
Eat vegetables, but not
remember
one of
them.
All right, here's your check.
$22,000 to her is not the same as $22,000 to you and me either.
True. But it's still money.
It's still $22,000, I know. But if you've got millions of dollars, it's not even a tiny percentage of it.
But it seems they're overcharging her.
Yeah, that's possible.
Taking
that
advantage of her. Possible. Dumbness.
Yeah.
She just sends the check to the diet store.
Trainers
online.
And dietitians to the stars are kind of like government contracts to politics.
Whatever the market will bear.
Really?
Yeah. The hammer costs the United States government $750, but it costs the rest of us $10. Yeah. Same with dietitians and nutritionists for celebrities.
That's probably true.
It's true.
But how good can you be? At some point, don't you hit a ceiling as a nutritionist where you just cannot give any better advice than that?
I would think so.
Maybe they sprinkle cocaine just to speed up her metabolism.
She's eating gold. They're actually serving her gold every day. So that's something. Good news for Shia LaBeouf. He is off the hook, at least for the accident that caused him to roll his truck last weekend. L.A. Sheriff's Department says it wasn't his fault. Apparently, Shia was making a legal left turn at 2:30 a.m. in the morning on Saturday when another driver ran a red light and plowed into him. That's what caused his car to roll. Now, let's not forget, he still was driving under the influence, so those charges will stick, and he remains in Cedars-Sinai Hospital while they try to repair his hand that was apparently badly injured in the crash. But at least... when it comes to the law, he won't be blamed for the accident. So that's good news.
I have a Shia statement if you'd like to hear it.
Sure, I'd love to.
Hey, everybody here is thinking, you know what? This guy's drunk. You're right. This is a mess.
And lastly, Miley Cyrus has a new opportunity to make a few bucks. The Lifestyle Condom Company is offering her $1 million to endorse their products.
Ooh.
Would anybody like to volunteer to be in that commercial with Miley?
Thank God.
Yeah. Recent reports show that one out of four teenage girls has an STD, says Lifestyle Condoms. And with the high level of teenage pregnancy, we believe Miley is both influential and relatable to this afflicted set and is the obvious choice to get the message of safe sex out to the teens of America.
She's also very likely the one out of four, too.
How dare you, sir? She is as clean as the driven snow. I've seen the photograph.
Don't mention that whore to me.
Miley's representatives say she is not considering the company's
really?
Offer. Yeah.
That's right up her alley.
Yeah. Miley said, I never use condoms. I love it bareback.
I'm not going to get a copy of that.
That's what Miley said.
I heard that she's going to be worth over $1 billion by her 18th birthday.
You know what she's not going to do? Send 10 bucks to the something store.
Although she can afford
money.
Too much.
She could, but she won't because that's stupid.
Not a value.
It's like Christmas Day every day at my house.
Yeah, except it costs you $3,600 and you don't like anything that you get.
You got to remember, the other factor for me is how much I love the mail, too. How much I love receiving stuff in the mail.
Well, why don't you spend that money on stuff you really like and get that sent to your house?
Because I already know what that is. There's a thrill. There's the excitement of opening that envelope and not knowing what's inside.
You're so gay.
But the thrill is surpassed by the disappointment when you realize that you got a crackhead. The egg-shaped planter with attitude on its face.
How about Sammy selling the something store with, and now we've got what's called crackerhead available? he's trying to get customers, new customers, to the something
store. The crackerhead makes the chia pet look like crap.
And he goes right with the crackerhead.
It's an egg, but on their face it has attitude.
I am going to keep sending money until I get the USB-supported vacuum cleaner. I'm sorry.
You could just buy one of those, Bean.
Nope.
Yeah. Just buy it.
Not a thrill.
All right. How desperate is he for thrills?
Send any of us $10. We promise to send you something.
Yeah.
You won't know.
I'll go to those stupid bins at Fry's that you got to look at when you stand in that god-awful line. That's all it is.
Here's a burnout capacitor. Send that to Bean for $10.
There's a new motherboard.
Why would the internet lie?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Today's celebrity birthday is Arnold Schwarzenegger, turned 61 years old today. Happy birthday, Governor. Sean Renault from Da Vinci Code and other feature films like Mission Impossible. He is 60. Lawrence Fishburne is 47 years old today. Remember how good he was in The Matrix?
Yes.
Deep cover, man.
What a film. That's what a good film. One, too. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 45. Vivica A. Fox turns 44. Christopher Nolan, director of The Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Memento, and other feature films, is 38. Christine Taylor, who was Marcia in the Brady Bunch movie, she's 37. Hilary Swank is 34 years old. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl is 31. And Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck.
Damn.
One of my favorite shows. I'm glad to see it's coming back on NBC this fall. She is 26 years old today, an Australian.
Yeah.
She uses an American accent on the show, but when she talks in real life, God damn it.
Yeah,
I'd take a stingray barb to the chest for that girl. That's how much I love that Australian accent.
They're giving those out at the something store too.
Crikey!
Has it been enough time?
Yeah, I think
for
so.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, we felt it, Lightning. You know, we're supposed to talk to former producer Lightning, now KROQ.com's own Lightning, here about the earthquake yesterday. And I think maybe he's calling us on the phone because he's still too shaken, still too afraid to come into KROQ. Maybe.
Could be.
Is it lightning?
So crazy?
Is that what it is? Because it was so crazy yesterday?
No, not necessarily. No, that's not what it was.
How could we not get you in the studio? You work here. You're supposed to be here in like 15 minutes anyway.
I'm actually headed up the street. The camera rental place opens up in a few minutes, so I figured I'd hit that before I came in. I'm renting this stuff for the Sustainable Dave Cribs. That we're doing today.
Oh, Sustainable Dave Cribs. Very nice. All right, Producer Lightning, take us back to 11:42 yesterday morning. Everybody knows there was a 5.4 earthquake. It was a big one relative to what we've had in the last 15 years or so, but it didn't cause any damage. No one really got hurt. Tell us where you were and what you did.
Well, first, as it occurred, I looked up with my news assistant in the office, and we marveled at the ceiling moving above us.
Right.
And then...
What about the ground below you?
yeah, well, it was shaken beneath me as well. So,
okay.
Like everybody. So I ran, I don't know why, but after 17 years, I'm programmed to run into the air studio. And
right.
I don't know. It's inexplicable.
But here's what I want to tell you. Had you done this on our show, we would have kicked you in the balls.
Right.
So Stryker's on the air, filling in for Kat, who's on vacation yesterday at 11:43. We have a little bit of tape from that.
Yes. Then we want to know why you felt like you had to run into the studio based on what we're about to hear and what you had to add to Stryker's coverage.
So Rage Against the Machine is doing Lollapalooza. Radiohead's going to be at... Whoa! Did you guys just feel that earthquake? Holy mackerel. Oh, my God. Whoa! Oh, my God, there's an earthquake! I'm not supposed to panic like that, though. Hold on.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, now Lightning is already in the room. You heard the door open, and you heard him start to chuckle a little bit. It has to be 10 seconds, maybe, since the earthquake hit. Lightning is already in the studio. How? How fast did you run, fat boy?
From where he is, he would have had to sprint.
About 20 steps from my office.
It's now, there are about 60 people here in the building that were that close to the studio. None of them felt the need to run into the studio while Stryker was on the air, except for Lightning.
Yes, now remember, with all the board op training that we had way back in the day, and the Scott Mason always on top of us about the transmitter failing and the backup and all this stuff, like, it's if you run the board before, and you know, Mike doesn't feel the same way, we'd go off the air if we're up to Mike, but I go into the studio whenever something like that happens, and I always look at the controls, so I'm staring at the controls. Again, why? I don't know. But,
okay, now let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there, Lightning. Let's go to the tape now that you're in the room and chuckling, and let's see if you're quietly monitoring the controls behind where Stryker's trying to do a radio show, or if you are, in fact, trying to dominate the conversation. Let's find out what happens.
Do you feel that?
Yes, we're on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
By the way, did you feel that is a fantastic question to a guy who's doing nothing but talking about the earthquake.
Well, Lightning,
and how could he not have felt it? He's 20 feet away from you.
But Bean, Lightning didn't listen when he was our producer, and he doesn't listen now. You should know that.
What was the chance he didn't feel it, Lightning? Let me ask you that. When you asked the question, what was the possibility that he would come back and say, no, I didn't feel it. What are you talking about, Light?
Listen, I can cut to the end of this conversation where you're going to make fun of me the whole time, and I have no excuse to get out of my chair and run into the air studio and try to be on the air.
But here's what's funny is that there's a gigantic police-like light right outside the door that's flashing so brightly you almost have a heart attack. There's no question whatsoever that Stryker was on the air talking at the time, so he comes running in.
Let's go back to the tape from yesterday.
Did you do that?
Yes, we're on the radio, by the way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my. It threw me out of my seat.
I know.
That was strong. The speakers up here, I thought were going to fly and smash me in the head.
Yeah, it was nuts. I thought somebody was walking on a roof just a second ago. Wow, all right. Wait, we're still on the air.
Hey, remember that time Lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Wait a minute. You're reminding Stryker that he's still on the air?
Listen, small talk, it was banter, and it was trying to give him someone to bounce something off.
Oh, you were thinking of him and what was going through his mind at the time when you jumped in and said, did you feel that?
We just had visions of people who would have panicked all over Southern California, but then they heard the calm, reassuring voice of Jay Lightning tell us, and they thought, oh, thank God the city's in good hands.
Yeah,
by the way, it felt like I thought somebody was walking on the ceiling.
That's crazy.
But that kind of input, it's a good thing you did run down and get right on the air, Lightning.
I'm going to squeeze in an AIS commercial, but he cut me off.
Yeah.
well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank God for you.
Hey, I'm Carrie Hart.
I actually got my first bike when I was 4 years old, and it was pretty much all downhill from there.
I'm pretty low-key and laid-back and mellow. You know, when I'm not on my bike, I kind of let my riding speak for it. I love being around tattoo culture.
I mean, for me, I get nervous every time I throw my leg over a bike. I mean, that's part of the excitement, the adrenaline, and that's why I keep riding.
Multi-time freestyle champion, one of the innovators of the sport, Carrie Hart.
I'm a dirt bike rider. Whether I own a business or I'm 60 years old, I'm still basically a dirt bike rider. I've actually broke 56 bones, though. Back then, when I first did the first flip back in 2000, 2001, there was no foam pits.
Carrie Hart just free fell from 40 feet in the sky.
I went for it, and I actually broke my back when I did it the first time.
Yeah! Carrie Hart has just kicked the demon off his back. Carrie Hart has just done a backflip.
motocross superstar. We welcome Kerry Hart. Let's take a ride.
How many bones are you up to now? You were at 56 at some point in that tape, Kerry. What are you up to right now?
63.
Oh, oh
dude.
Still going.
That you are not
pretty
good
serious
at.
Intro.
Yeah, no kidding. Now we don't have time. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you, nice to talk to you.
You are not going to still be writing when you're 60, I don't think.
I think I will.
Really? You're not going to be walking when you're 60, Kerry. Come on.
Just it's called titanium. That's what keeps you going. 63
breaks.
Yeah, 63.
You know what you need to sell, dude? This would be the ultimate Kerry Hart collectible. A life-size copy of your full body X-ray.
Ooh, that'd be
God,
scary.
I'd love to see that.
It's it looks pretty bad. Yeah, lots of hardware and calcium deposits from all the breaks. Yeah, that wouldn't be a pretty.
I think
sight.
You should sell the hardware. Then they could have you and them when they break up.
All right, now that's getting kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even follow that.
Creepy. Yeah, it's a little much.
What about? We may have asked you this before, Kerry, so forgive me. But what about going through metal detectors at the airport?
Oh, it goes off all the time.
You just have to say to the guy, "Look, I've got metal inside me," and they got to wand you.
I'm supposed to carry these little cards from the doctor that says
that
where.
Explain it.
Yeah, and I always forget to and. It makes traveling interesting these days.
Is it hard to convince them? I mean, most people probably recognize your name, no?
Or
your
face? Because most of the metal's in my legs from breaking my femurs. So if they say anything, I just drop my pants and show them the scars on my butt.
Excellent.
And it usually shuts them
I'm
up.
I'm sure they like that.
Yeah. Usually quiets them right down.
You forget the card. I'm thinking you like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does it. I think I've pointed out in the past, but if you were better at riding a bike, maybe you wouldn't have broken 63 bones.
I know. I think about that all the time. Every time I'm laying on the ground in pain, I think about you telling me that. I think I should probably retire.
But don't you think that if you were to come up now with all the foam pits and everything else, it wouldn't be nearly as bad? I mean, you did it at a time when not everyone was doing it, and it was really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous regardless. I mean, even with foam pits, I mean, as much as these guys are pushing the sport right now, you get hurt. I mean, I just had a couple of buddies get hurt back-to-back. One broke his pelvis, one broke his femur. I mean, it's just part of it. I mean, there's not many freestyle guys you'll come across that don't have a pretty serious story about a broken femur, broken back, whatever it might be.
And the femur in the back, those are good, easy breaks? They heal up nicely?
It's common. I mean, it's femurs are really common, that's unfortunately.
Crazy.
Yeah, knees, femurs, ankles.
I asked Kevin this morning, hey, Kerry's coming in. Is he going to compete this year? And he's like, I can't keep track. I don't know. Is he in? Is he out? Is he announcing? Is he writing? But apparently
he does all the above, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently you are competing in the Moto X Supermoto final.
I am,
this Saturday you're going to be doing that. How come you made the decision to go for it again this year?
I just have fun. I mean, there's no matter what I got going on, there's nothing better than just getting back to basics and being an athlete. And, I love riding. I love competing at the X Games, I mean, especially in LA because it's such like a prestigious event now.
Yeah.
And,
all
the cool parties and everything that goes along with it, and it's just fun being an athlete.
I can understand that. That seems like one of those things that you would retire from and come back from many times, just because you go, I could still do it. It's still fun.
I mean, that's the thing. I've been through some peaks and valleys, and I was off my bike for about 3 years, and I figured that was probably it is over. And as time went on, and I rehabbed my body, I got back to the point where I can ride. I'm like, well, why not? Right. There's no reason to hold back.
You're the Brett Favre of motocross.
Great. Killer.
And when you finally do retire, you'll always have ties to the sport. You'll always be involved in one way or another, either, you know, bringing up guys or doing announcing or whatever. But you'll probably always ride dirt bikes for fun, too, right?
Oh, I will. I mean, you know, it's actually a really fun time right now because I'm able to. I have a supercross team. I have a supermoto team. I'm building like a bigger brand and being able to give back to action sports. And the thing is, like, I can't see myself not riding. I mean, even if it's just trail riding, sport bike riding, I'm actually going to Sturgis and riding my motorcycle home from Sturgis.
Oh, so, are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be something that everyone wants to do sometime before they die because you can't believe there are that many motorcycles in one place until you see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, I'll be there next week, and I'm actually flying straight from X Games to Sturgis, and should be interesting.
And is it Leonard Skinner again this year, or who they have entertaining you this time around? Do you know?
Kid Rock's up there this year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, your buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him and riding some bikes and drinking some beer.
We got a lot of stuff to talk to you about because you do have so many businesses, and we want to talk a little bit more about what to expect this week. And, of course, you know, every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're talking to different X Games athletes. P-Rod was yesterday. I think Ricky Carmichael is tomorrow. So we got you covered. We have more tickets you can win later on today. And we got a lot more conversation with our friend Kerry Hart when we return on the world-famous K-Rock.
Our old friend Kerry Hart is in the studio with us talking about X Games 14, among other things.
He'll be at the Moto X Supermoto Final at the Home Depot Center on Saturday. By the way, there are still some tickets available. And once again, this year they are cheap and you can get them through Ticketmaster. And it's four big days. X Games 14 begins tomorrow. Wow, Carrie, you got so much going on right now. Last week was the grand opening of Wasted Space. It's finally up and running in Las Vegas. Is that right?
Yeah, last weekend was our official grand opening. And we actually soft opened about 3 weeks ago to work out the kinks, but it was a wild party, to say the least.
I can imagine.
I remember when you were telling us, I think the first time we heard about it was when you were on our show when we were out in Las Vegas last year, and you said, guys, I'm opening up a club. And we said, we can't wait. And you had a lot of ideas. Were you able to incorporate everything that was in your head into the club itself?
More or less, yeah. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot that didn't get worked in. I mean, it was a great partnership with the Hard Rock. I mean, they're great guys over there. And we started with this shell and just started.
Where is it? It's not downstairs, is it?
No. It's where the sidebar used to be at, if you're familiar. Sidebar. There used to be like where the Red Hot Chili Peppers lounge was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
We fully built that in. It's about 5,000 square feet. And it's just a cool, because it's kind of like the anti-club. That's what I call it in Vegas, because everything is glitzy and glammy and silver shirts and all that kind of stuff. And this place is really dark and it's got some really cool textures to it. Lots of wood panels. And it looks like it's been around for 15, 20 years.
Very cool.
It's got to be, I mean, it sounds like you found a niche, but in a place like Las Vegas that has literally 2,000 nightclubs, it has to be a little bit daunting to try to figure out, hey, how are we going to look for something different? How are we going to stand out from the crowd? But it sounds like you went the opposite way, and that's how you did it.
Oh, I mean, that's the big thing. It's like Vegas has finally kind of got on the map for a touring city. You know, I mean, for a long time, we had a pretty bad music scene in Vegas. But, you know, now over the years with Mandalay Bay and the Palms and all these other venues opening up live music venues, now there's no place for that rock crowd to go. So we kind of had to fill that niche, and it's
so you'll be doing live music there too.
Yeah, well, we have like a really small jam band. It's cool. Like Fender set us up in Mesa Boogie, so we have a fully set up stage, so to kind of invoke like late night jam sessions.
Oh,
and then we're
cool.
Also going to do some bookings too. It's like, wow, we had Camp Freddy perform for our grand opening, and Gavin Rosdale. So it's great.
That sounds
good. Times.
Right. You get drunk and jump up on stage and start playing a guitar?
I'm not comfortable enough to drink there yet.
You're not?
It's like one of those
Because you're
deals.
Still like the owner part?
I'm still kind of the go-to guy a little bit, so I got to keep my game sharp.
And you're leaving to go to Sturgis. I was just thinking, like, most people who just open up a business like that would not be leaving. What's that
well,
about?
I'm kind of, I'm excited to go to Sturgis, but I'm kind of committed to it, too. I have to go do some stuff for Harley Davidson out there.
Oh,
so.
All right. All right.
Work and pleasure.
Plus, he's got like 12 businesses, so this is just one of them.
Yeah, no kidding. Just one more.
I'm Jefferson.
And how many of the Hart and Huntington tattoo places you have now?
We have four right now, and I'm doing another 4 to 5 this year. We're doing Myrtle Beach.
No kidding.
Denver, Detroit, Boston. Going to Australia to possibly do one out there. Nice. I got my plate full, and then we're doing
kidding.
Hart and Huntington clothing. So
you're doing clothing, right?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Wow. You need to do more stuff. That's your problem.
I need to get more sleep.
Not
That's my
enough.
Problem.
That's what it sounds.
I'm trying to figure out time management. It's just not working out too well for me.
Yeah.
Carrie's one of those guys who comes in and you go, he worked so hard for it. He deserves it all, but I still hate him because he's accomplishing so much.
Well, he just makes us feel like slugs.
Yeah, but the same 24 hours a day that I have, and I barely shower. I mean, that's about – sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, and then I mostly just watch TV until the next Gavin and Mean show begins. And I'm looking
jealous.
At you. It's crazy.
You wouldn't be jealous if you had that life, by the way.
I know.
It's not fun.
I think you'd get bored. You'd get bored awfully fast, I guess. All right. Before we go, X Games 14 again starts tomorrow. We know your event Saturday afternoon. What else catches your eye that you're excited about in any of the sports that are happening this weekend?
You know what? I'm actually really excited. I love the Mega Ram contest. I think it's just so wild that those guys are going that big. And actually Supercross. I have two Supercross racers in Supercross.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I have a Supercross team now, which is kind of fun. So I got two of my guys in Supercross and then three of my guys in Supermoto.
How do people get on your team? What's the audition process to ride for you?
Well, it's kind of a weird. I guess the biggest thing is I actually have a touring team, which we do Supercross from January to May, which comes down to Anaheim Stadium.
Right.
And then we do Supermoto, which is a five-man team, which I'm one of the riders on. And we do that from May until November. So, like, those are hired on athletes. But I'm also doing some stuff. I sponsor Mike Mason. I sponsor Josh DeMuth. So we're expanding into the athlete realm of things. So
can you sponsor me?
Of course.
Can you say whatever I do?
Always, yeah. Exactly.
Actually,
I don't even need a resume.
All right, fantastic. I don't know much either, but...
Kevin's visit to the Panda Express brought to you by...
Very hard.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be a good time. X Games 14 starts tomorrow, of course. It's going to be on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2. You're going to announce some too or no?
I'm not.
You're not going to the show.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not that good at that stuff.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just I have more fun doing stuff like this than actually announcing.
I got you. Well, that makes sense.
I'd rather come hang out with you guys.
So you're going to be practicing on Friday and then Saturday at 4 o'clock Home Depot Moto X Supermoto Final.
That's it. And then we're actually going to do a... Actually, if you guys want to come down, we're shutting down Hollywood and Highland, I believe, on Sunday night.
Oh, really?
For our Rolling Stone and Wasted Space Heart and Huntington Party. So it'll be wild.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah. Awesome. All right, well, we will definitely, if we don't see you there, we'll see you again soon in Las Vegas. We're itching to get back. But, Kerry, it's always great to catch up with you, dude. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right, Lightning, thank you. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Psycho Mike's got the top button of his shirt buttoned, and the rest of them are open with his T-shirt showing underneath.
He's a stud, this guy right here.
It's a different look, Mike.
What's that all about?
That's the I've been in prison because I'm a gangbanger look.
Not the sleeves rolled up. You look like a preppy who just took off his tie and some stripper and doing a lap dance just tore the rest of your buttons.
No, you got to roll up the sleeves to expose your jail tats so people know you've murdered people.
You don't have jail tats. You haven't killed anyone.
Well, that guy kind of
destroys the purpose.
You're what about except for that bum you ran over? You haven't killed anyone.
Dude, what about that tattooed?
I killed so many people.
Tattooed teardrop on your right eye. What about that?
You weren't in Nam.
He doesn't have that. He wasn't in Nam. He doesn't have it. Okay, he's barely Mexican. All right, 8:58. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Unbelievable.
Channel 4's coverage of the earthquake?
No.
Yesterday?
Oh. No. The tragic news. I cannot believe it. Kate Hudson and Lance Armstrong have split up.
No.
Oh, come on. How are you going to come at us like that?
It's the end of Hudstrong.
We had just gotten so familiar with that group.
How could that happen? Hudson, who's known to fall head over heels in love with people that she meets for weeks at a time and then end their relationships, and Lance Armstrong, who's been whoring around with everyone from Sheryl Crow to Mary-Kate Olsen, how could they not hold it together?
And
no! And commit to an ongoing, loving relationship.
What hope do we have, Ralph? That's
inexplicable. Right. How could they not make it work?
So sad.
According to the New York Daily News, there was the constant bickering, their travel schedules not coinciding, and their passion for each other's work that drove them apart.
Their passion for each other's work?
Each other's passion for their own work.
Oh, I see.
Mm. Yeah.
Plus there was...
One testicle! What an asshole!
That too. Apparently, they both decided it just wasn't feasible, a friend says. Another person close to the couple says they had a big blowout a week ago, and Lance stormed off, and they didn't talk for 5 days.
But he rode his bike away, so he could only be, like, 20 miles away.
Rest in peace, Hudstrong.
I don't look at Kate Hudson as a catch, by the way. No appeal whatsoever.
I think she's adorable.
I do, too.
I think she's cute on the cute scale.
And I think she'd be really fun.
Yeah, I bet she'd be really fun, too.
That way, too.
Yeah.
Balls.
What's that? A smelly hippie. She's not a smelly hippie.
She was married to a smelly hippie.
Married to a smelly hippie.
But apparently she was clean and not hip-ish. F hippies, by the way. I've always said it.
So I'm trying to point.
I said it when I was born. I'm going to say it till the day I die. F hippies. That's what I've always said. Here's another guy. Here's another guy who says it often.
Here are you counting on Psycho Mike? Bean, do you have that?
Here's the guy
I have it. I'm standing by. I didn't want to step on you,
let's
though.
Let's have it.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
All right. Are we happy now?
Yes.
Unreal. Some, you know, tape that applies can never show up, ever.
God, no.
Inexplicably, that's just off the mark.
That's just
random
what you'd expect.
Tangent tape. Got nothing but that playing constantly here.
That's correct.
Insane. You know, they just added another...
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan.
For example, they've just added another category to the Primetime Emmys this year.
Oh, good.
The 60th Primetime Emmys for the first time ever will have Outstanding Host of Reality or Reality Competition Program.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the day they were announced, you told us about that, right?
Right. First nominees in that new category were Tom Bergeron for Dancing with the Stars, Heidi Klum for Project Runway, Howie Mandel for Deal or No Deal, Jeff Probst for Survivor, and Ryan Seacrest for American Idol.
Yeah.
Well, this year, the Emmy nominating committee has decided that thanks to the new category, they've got some built-in hosts. They're going to be there anyway, so they're going to have all five of them host the Emmys this year.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Will Ryan have recovered from his shark bite by any time?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that, Ralph?
Yes.
What do you mean he got bit by a shark? What a douchebag.
And there's like a baby shark.
It was a sand shark, yeah.
Like a paper cut on his ankle.
Dear God. I got bit by a shark.
Why couldn't the shark finish the deal, by the way? It's a lame-ass shark. Wouldn't it be great to have him eaten by a shark? That'd be the funniest thing ever.
That would be great.
It would be. It really would be.
That would be great.
You just see frosted hair floating in the ocean. That's all that's left.
And awesome. 10,000 new jobs available at radio
that's
and TV.
That's true. Yeah, at least we'll get to see Ryan on more on the television when he's hosting the Emmys this year, along with the rest of the kids. So.
Will he be recovered or no? I mean, seriously.
They'll probably have to wheel him out.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. He might do it on his knees.
Oh!
Oh!
Like usual.
Oh!
Ah, Shia LaBeouf, good news for him. He will not be blamed for the accident that caused his truck to roll over last weekend. He's still facing DUI charges and remains in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, and they work on his effed up hand. But
didn't we hear left turn from the right lane, though? Was that...
That was the rumor initially.
Not factual?
That he was loaded and tried to make an illegal left and got T-boned. But apparently he was making a legal left. He was in the left-hand turn.
I got
he it. Was making the turn, and someone coming across the intersection blew through a red light and tacoed him.
Yeah, that's not good.
Made him roll his truck. But apparently he's been exonerated in that charge. It wasn't his fault. So,
hey, he's still in the hospital. Is this one of those deals where he's making Transformers 2 right now and it's costing millions of dollars every day that he can't show up for work?
I think he's got a break in the schedule. That's why he was out partying. Because I think they do have a couple weeks off.
Good timing.
He was with the co-star in the passenger seat. The co-star of the movie was with him, one of the co-stars, who apparently is dating Adrienne Grenier from Entourage.
That's what I heard, and he's not happy?
He's not happy.
That's what TMZ is saying.
But he's got some time before he has to be back on the set, so they are hoping that everything will still go on schedule. I think they're giving him like one of those Luke Skywalker hands from Empire.
Really?
Where it's all mechanical and he's got like a bionic hand now.
I like it.
That'd be cool.
I used to like him, and now I hate him.
That's harsh.
That's harsh. The guy just had an accident. Simon Cowell is available again, ladies. Are you happy?
No.
Oh, wow.
Could not care less.
Rumor has it that he's broken up with his girlfriend of 6 years, entertainment reporter Terry Seymour. Friend of Simon says that he is tired of dealing with her insecurities and isn't pleased when she shows up for surprise visits at his events.
That sounds like a bad thing.
Yeah, surprise visits are bad, especially when you're deep in conversation with some 20-year-old or something. Mm-hmm. I bet that doesn't work out so well. She seems like she'd be a bit of a pain in the ass to handle.
Yeah, not him, though.
Screechy and annoying.
That's what he said about his ex-girlfriend. He's probably no piece of cake either, but yeah. I'm just saying. You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
New James Bond theme is in the can. It has been recorded by Alicia Keys and Jack White.
That's pretty cool.
That's a nice, interesting combination.
Yeah, interesting duo. The song is called Another Way to Die, and you'll hear it in the 22nd James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace, when it hits theaters on November the 7th. Apparently, the soundtrack album is set for release on October the 28th on Alicia's label, J Records. It'll be the first time a James Bond theme is a duet. Jack apparently wrote and produced the song and plays drums on the track, as well as sings. So.
I have a clip if you want to hear a little bit of that.
Sure.
Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no.
Very different.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
I don't see what that has to do with James Bond, but...
I don't either.
That's not them. Big a deal as they used to be, but for many, many years, a James Bond theme was a guaranteed hit record, and B, almost always a great song.
Right.
But they've kind of fallen off, you know, with people like Sheryl Crow kind of turning in lackluster performances, and Madonna did one a couple of years ago. They haven't really been all that lately. That's not what it sounded like.
Madonna's song, Blue. Today's celebrity birthdays, Yvonne Strahovski of Chuck.
Oh.
She is 26 years old today. You know one rides with Chuck, don't you?
No.
That's what I'd like to do with her. Drive a truck. Cool. See what I did there?
No.
Set you up and I knocked you down, man. Just like a bowling pin. Jamie Presley, my name is Earl. She is 31 years old today. Hilary Swank is 34. By the way, a lot of people are asking... Petros Papadakis to wish Hillary Swank a happy birthday.
That's a great idea.
Petros, would you mind wishing Hillary a happy
birthday? It's my pleasure.
as the radio broadcaster and the captain of the sea that is AM Talk Radio to wish you, Hillary Swank, happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Petros. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
You know, Million Dollar Baby is one of my favorite sports movies.
Well, it sure was fun for me to make as well. Clint Eastwood is one of my favorite directors.
I bet Clint Eastwood's the real G.
Whatever you said, Petros.
I have to talk into this microphone now.
It's talking what?
Oh,
that's what she said! Yeah!
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Christine Taylor, who played Marsha in the Brady Bunch movie, she's 37 years old today. Christopher Nolan, he's got a bit of a hit on his hands with that whole Dark Knight movie. He's 38. Vivica A. Fox is 44. Lisa Kudrow turns 45.
Really a bell for Lisa Kudrow?
I think
really.
So.
Really?
I don't know. Beautiful, but she's attractive.
Really?
No, she's belless.
Let's take that back, shall
we? I think
we?
She's belless. All right. I did refrain the first hour, but I didn't hear any complaints, so I don't know.
So you didn't ring the bell, and you didn't hear us say she deserves a bell, so you decided, oh, now I must add a bell, because
Nolan
said she deserves it.
I didn't know. I was on the fence with it all.
You did the right thing the first time.
It could have gone either way. I apologize. I withdraw the bell.
All right.
Lawrence Fishburne is 47 years old today.
No,
he gets a bell.
Yeah.
Man, is he packing. Jean Reno from Da Vinci Code and the Mission Impossible films, he is 60 years old today. And Arnold Schwarzenegger used to be a guy who would run around in a loincloth with a broadsword.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now he runs the largest state in the nation. Only in America, my friends. He's 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
X Games 14 tickets for you later on this hour. Kevin, do you think the Channel 4 KNBC TV news director went home last night and said to his wife, or husband, depending, yes, I crushed it today.
Job well done.
We owned that earthquake coverage today.
Honey, we destroyed today. It was so good to have another earthquake. Woo!
You can't believe how great our coverage was. Our nonstop 12 hours of covering an earthquake that 99.9% of the people knew within 5 minutes was a non-event.
5.8, nothing really happened. No one died. No one injured.
5.4 they ended 5-4. Up. Dr. Kate, that guy at Caltech, ended up dialing it down to a 5.4.
That guy was on for a long time. They covered him forever.
I know they did.
But what we like about Channel 4 is that they like to interview everyone, and there's no interview that they've ever done that they think, you know what, that doesn't really hold up. Let's just cut that out and go to the good stuff. They've never done that in their lives, and I don't want them to start now. But I do like it when they ask little kids what was going on.
You live right here. So what did you feel when the earthquake hit?
That's one of my favorite questions, too, is what did you feel?
And it's a great example, Kevin, because Laurel Erickson has been in Los Angeles News for 30 years, right? How can she think that that's a legitimate question to ask a 5-year-old? What am I, as the viewer, getting out of his response?
Her response, little girl.
Sorry.
When the earthquake hit, I thought that someone was moving the desk in the school, and then suddenly our teacher said, get down, because there's an earthquake, so the floor was moving, and everyone was scared. There was people crying.
And then she asked about 17 follow-up questions.
Go Doyers.
I don't know why they ask what you felt, because the people who feel it know what they felt. It's like asking people what it feels like to be hot. I mean, everyone has the same experience.
So then, and in this case, Laurel, by the way, felt the exact same earthquake as the little kid that she's interviewing, and everybody watching it on the TV also lived through the same earthquake. It's not like the experience is any different for anybody.
So then one of the reporters went outside of a grocery store and talked to a yawning, could not be less interested in doing this interview dude who was sitting out in front of a grocery store handing out newspapers.
There's a fellow who's actually sitting out here in front of the supermarket. His name is James Yee. You can see him there working away. He says he's been giving away newspapers, and James is going to describe for us.
By the way, he's not working away. He's reading the paper. That's what he's doing while this interview is going on.
Exactly what happened when he felt it. James, are you with us?
Okay, now James is sitting 2 feet from the reporter, and they're the only two people, and yet he's still trying to snap him to attention. James, are you with us? Are you here? Are you still here?
Yeah. Hey. So when did you realize it was an earthquake?
Oh, that's a great question.
When the ground started shaking.
But even a better answer. Remember, the earthquake was 11:43, and listen to the guy yawning.
I'm not sure, maybe around
10 o'clock.
Around 10 o'clock. So he felt it a full hour and 43 minutes before it happened.
Well, the only follow-up then is, why didn't you call and let somebody know?
I'm not sure.
10 o'clock. Still a little sleepy, huh?
Yeah.
Tell us what you did when it started shaking. What?
Okay, now this is a news reporter that knows the answer but is just trying desperately to get the guy to say it. He stood up and ran out from underneath the roof because he was standing in the parking lot and he didn't want anything to fall on. What? Tell us about that. What'd you do?
What happened to you?
What happened? I just ran out.
I just ran out.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Can you show us?
What is he asking him to recreate it?
Recreate the exit from his house?
Can you?
Oh my
God. Not the house, out in front of the grocery store. Can you? And by the way, just barely on the edge of the parking lot. Like, it was two steps for him to run out from underneath the roof.
You got a little table here with all this stuff.
I don't care, money.
So he ran outside.
So you came out here. Why did you do that, sir?
What? Really? Why? Because we were having an earthquake, you douchebag.
Can you forget what we're talking about?
Reading newspaper.
Yeah.
Dodgers,
sure.
Kuroda, no good.
Okay, so he just wants to talk about the Dodgers. That's all he's
right,
interested in.
Because he's reading the paper, which was infinitely more interesting than the earthquake.
He was not at all interested in the earthquake. So then Channel 4 said, look, there's not enough destruction. We've got to get somebody out to some place where there probably is destruction. Let's go to Antique Row. Let's go to a place with a bunch of antique stores.
And guaranteed, as packed as those places are and as fragile as that stuff is, a lot of stuff must have fallen down and broken in an earthquake.
We've got to have a broken vase someplace. Get out there and find it. So they go to Antique Row, and they talk to a dude who owns a store there.
One resident who made it through this earthquake is with me right now. Your name is Robert.
Okay, wait a minute. He's a resident that made it through the earthquake?
He's one of the few survivors. There were over 20 million casualties yesterday, Kevin. This guy survived.
One resident that made it through. So then they sent their reporter over to a mall where there was an escalator to get some interviews. And there were some people eating lunch outside. It's about 1 o'clock, so it's about an hour and 15 minutes away from the earthquake. And this dude is just walking up to people eating lunch and interviewing them.
Let's see if we can catch some of the diners here. You're having lunch, life as usual?
No! I mean, no, you know
for
what?
Hell, things have never been worse since that earthquake.
We had an earthquake an hour and 15 minutes ago. I will never eat again. I am not hungry. It's the strangest thing. What's wrong with him?
I don't think I'll ever recover from what I went through.
You don't stop eating because he had an earthquake that didn't hurt anyone. What the hell?
Yeah, for now.
What was this like for you?
Well, we were at work in our building right around the mall. And
don't care. I don't care. I really don't care.
And that's a good piece of advice for you listening. If you're involved in a conversation where somebody says to you, guess where I was during the earthquake, or where were you during the earthquake, just walk away.
Yeah, it's not interesting to anyone but yourself. I mean, I know where I was. I know how. I thought it was pretty funny what happened to me. Not really a story that anyone else would care about, so I'm just keeping it to myself. So then he turned and found they didn't talk to a young enough kid yet. They talked to a kid, but the kid was probably 8. And that's too high in age. Okay. So they found a little kid who an hour and a half ago was on the escalator when the earthquake hit. Now it's some good hard-hitting, reporting.
And there were some people on that escalator. In fact, I have some of them with me right now. You were on that escalator when the earthquake struck this morning. What was that like?
Well, it was shaking really fast, and I got really scared because I didn't know what was happening.
Okay. Now, do you think he cuts out and goes, all right, kid doesn't know anything, scared?
Of course. He has to.
Or does he come back with the world's greatest follow-up question?
You weren't sure about it all?
No.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Channel 4, Emmy Award.
They crushed it. I'm telling you, man, they crushed it.
A job well done. That news director probably doesn't even have to work today. Taking the day off.
Yep.
Killed it. Ratings were at an all-time high.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
It's as simple as picking up the phone and giving us a call, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, entertain the masses, win a prize. Today, 4-pack of tickets to check out the X Games 14 this weekend at Staples Center and Home Depot Center. Tickets available still through Ticketmaster.
All right, let's go to David in Orange. Good morning, David.
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
All right, so I work for the phone company, and I was actually in a terminal working on some lines right when the earthquake happened. And there was this blonde girl walking by, walking her dog. And the earthquake happened. I was just like, it kind of caught me off guard because I was like kind of in like a little cabinet thing.
Right.
And then I get out. I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And she looks at me with the straightest face and says, did that just happen because you're on the lines? And I looked at her thinking she was joking. And I said, without thinking, I was like, yeah, because AT&T can move the earth now, you know?
Wait a minute. She asked you if you made the ground move?
Yeah, she thought that because me working on the lines caused some kind of movement.
Because that...
And she was serious, too. She looked at me with the straightest face. I thought she was kidding at first. I looked at her, and she's like, that just happened because you were working on the lines?
Wow.
Maybe she thought it was an explosion or something nearby.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because AT&T can move the ground now, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that's
said that three times.
That's
now.
A little shaky right there. Stryker, anything to add, Ted?
Oh, my God, there's an earthquake!
Okay. Thank God he's coming up next in case there's an aftershock today. We'll
I think
have that
like
covered.
Most people, though, when I first start to feel an earthquake, I always assume it's an explosion or a truck
yeah, that's
or
true.
Something. Like, three things run through my head before I get the earthquake for some
but
reason.
But do you ask somebody if they caused that?
Well, probably
I'm guessing not.
Yeah.
Junior was in the gym downtown Los Angeles. Good morning, Junior.
Hey, what it do? Kevin and Bean.
What it do?
Hello, Poon.
I was at the gym, and when the earthquake happened, the super manly buff guys, they were the first ones running out of the gym, freaking out.
Yeah, girly men with big muscles.
Were they running out going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God?
No, they were running out saying, like, oh, my God, get out of the way, get out of the way.
I like it. I like
how
it.
How do my calves look?
Thank
get
you.
Out of my way.
Glad I work out so much so I can move so fast. All right, let's say good morning to Raul in Agoura Hills. Good morning, Raul.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do? This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Huh. Go ahead.
Well, I've been married to my wife for 1 year, and last night she revealed to me that she might have OCD.
It's really?
The creepiest thing. We have two light switches to turn on one light. And if you turn one of the light switches on, you just reverse the other one. So
right.
To turn on the light,
right,
you
of course.
Have to push it down.
So if the other one's up, you turn it off, and it goes on,
yeah.
Right?
Well, she cannot do that. She's told me that for the last year, every night before, when I'm asleep, she wakes up and she reverses them because she cannot turn the light switch on by pushing it down.
Now,
so I forced her yesterday. I told her, you have to do it. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that you do this. She almost started crying.
Yeah.
To turn on the light switch. She cannot put the switch down.
Did you have any clue up until this point that she was OCD? She had to do other stuff like that.
No. That's the weird thing. Everything was normal. And the only way I know is because I got up in the middle of the night to drink some water. And she's like, oh, I'm just turning off the lights. And I was like, but the lights were already off. And I noticed that she was playing with the light switch. And I was
that's
like,
weird.
It's super weird. It creeped me out. Are you kidding me? For 1 year we've been married. And she has OCD maybe.
I divorced her, man. That light switch thing is a deal breaker.
Did you ask her if there are any other things that she has to have in a certain order to be comfortable?
She said that she has a silver pen that has to be on the left side of her desk for some reason. She can't have it on the right.
I would move that to the right 20 times a day. That would be funny to me. That's awesome.
Yeah
we're going to do the topic tomorrow of things you found out about your spouse after the wedding.
I'll have her call. So yes, it's the weirdest thing. She almost started crying because I grabbed her hand and I was going to make her turn the light on.
I like that about you. Yes.
And that's it.
Understanding, caring, empathy.
Yep.
And then she asked you if the earth moved. Okay.
That's stupid. Turn it off. Torturer. That's good.
Thanks
Church should probably
give
you an annulment for that, though.
That's true, yeah. Because that's really extreme.
Right.
Let's squeeze in Casey and Whittier. He's on line one because I have questions about this. Casey, good morning. What'd it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? How to do, baby boo?
Wicked cool, yeah?
What's going on?
So, the other day I was watching a movie called Southland Tales. I'm pretty sure you guys have heard of it. And there was a number that came up in one of their conversations. It was a 310 number.
Right.
Uh-huh. And usually most movies, they start off with 555.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, this one actually started off with an actual number, so I was like, eh. It's like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, oh, I'll just call it like that. Well,
this is why they don't put real numbers in movies.
That's right.
Yeah. And so then I turned around and I called up the number and it happens to be some guy's cell phone number. And I tried talking to him. I was like, hey, dude. And he's like, what are you calling me for this late? And he hung up on me.
I hope you called back.
I wanted to, but I was trying to tell him, hey, dude, you know what? Your number's in the movie Southland Tales.
Now, what's interesting, and Ralph, you know about this, of course, is that increasingly movie companies have started putting real numbers back in movies again and using them for promotional purposes. You'll
Absolutely.
Call the number that's on the screen, and it'll say, thanks for calling with your interest in Southland Tales. Coming out on DVD July 29th.
The movie
like
phone
that.
Guy is always at the other end.
whoever it is.
Some guy's personal cell phone number.
Good times. That is interesting. You know, it's so weird. The reason I wanted to go to your call is I yesterday watched for the first time the movie Pulse. Which was not a great movie. It started out okay, then petered out. And Kristen Bell stars in that. And that's why I wanted to see it, because I love her, and I had never seen Pulse. This is the one where you go to the website and you die. It's that deal, right?
Right.
And there's a real phone number on a sign on a building in that one. And I did not call it. And I was wondering what they were doing with it. I thought it was so weird to see a non-555 number in a movie. So I probably should have called it. Would have been a better story, huh?
Exciting story.
No, strong.
That was good. That was...
Can't imagine why the numbers dip this time in every
really
show.
Great.
Can't imagine. Can't imagine why we're not going to spike right now. The old
talk PPM. About a momentum killer right there.
No, but I'm saying
I saw a movie and there was a number in it. All right,
and
then.
I didn't call
okay,
it. But
strong.
What I'm saying is it ties into what Casey
right.
did, which is he took the next step and actually called. But
right.
I also saw a movie yeah. yesterday
right.
with a real phone number.
Right,
in it.
But
that
he had a story. You didn't.
And his story was the guy hung up on him. He didn't get a chance to tell him his number was in a movie.
But wait a second. Wait a second. I just realized I don't give a shit.
Oh, wow. All right, let's. Why don't we end on a high note right there and thank all of our very special guests on today's show, including our friend Carrie Hart for stopping by. You can see him at X Games 14 this weekend. Saturday at the X-Moto Final at Home Depot Center. He's going to be competing at around 4 o'clock. Also, thanks to former sports guy Matt Money Smith for stopping by today. And how about our new friend Sammy Bay, who is the head of director of operations for the Something Store, somethingstore.com for
go
being
go crack ahead.
I sent him another $10.
Excellent,
the by the way.
Good.
I will let you know what my next item is.
I hope he
sends
you back anthrax.
When people say this is only for entertainment, that's code for this is crap.
This is a ripoff.
That's what they do with naming a star and everything. Oh, it's only for entertainment.
I just think that he doesn't want to be legally held to every
right,
specific
course, yes.
item has to be worth $10.
Right.
That's all. Some are, some aren't. I could get a new car could pull up in my driveway tomorrow. We
absolutely
don't know,
good.
It's probably a good chance, as a matter of fact, that a new car will show up.
That's what I'm saying.
Exciting story. All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show talking about the X Games. We have Ricky Carmichael on the program talking about motocross. We have Tito Ortiz in the studio tomorrow talking about the MMA Expo. We're going to tell you about a 75-year-old Japanese porn star.
Hey.
Dude.
Whose family has no idea that he's in the business, by the way.
That's a dumb family. Got to be honest.
They just don't watch porn.
Whose family doesn't know he's in the business?
Oh, stop it.
Exactly.
That's China, first of all. This is a Japanese porn star who's 73 that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
And also tomorrow, we are going to talk to the star of The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, Brendan Fraser.
Hey!
On tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
He's a really good actor who does not do movies that I ever want to go see.
All right.
Yeah, well, you're bad on
good
everything.
Times.
Mention that
okay.
Time.
Exciting story.
Good. Tomorrow we'll also be featuring the Brendan Fraser disaster.
Ted Earthquake Strikers up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the new one from The Offspring, also Sublime, White Stripes, and White Zombie. A lot of white straight ahead coming up on the world famous...